Sync up! 3, 2, 1. Halloween is on a weekday and that's lame.
Huh?
Huh?
What?
Huh?
Huh?
What? Huh?
Some people say pickle tastes better cucumber. That was reversed.
Huh?
Huh? No, I said Halloween is on a weekday and that's cockadookie at the nose. Hello and welcome to the Halloween episode of the TryGames.net podcast. Oh, no, it's not. Because Halloween's on a weekday and that's bullshit.
Yep.
And it's... I've stopped caring about it, so I don't care.
Who cares about Halloween anyway? ¿Cómo? It's not really a holiday. It's like a hella-day.
This is... hella-day! We have two females in the house because the third one is punking out again. The third one's jet lagged coming back from Canada, so he can go and dump in his own litter box. Ethan is gone again, but we do have Tony.
Yeah, shit whore.
What are you being for Halloween?
I'm being Christopher Walken. Christopher.
Christopher Walken. I'm being Christopher Walken.
Yet another week of Tony fucking shit up.
And I took this watch and shoved it up my ass. Al, what are you being for Halloween?
Place you can do. His ass.
I'm going to be a virtual one character because I'm looking at the box.
A voot?
A voot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm going to be a Temujin.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You are true otaku. Oh,
complete
you're so
with
dedicated.
The sword and everything. Yeah,
oh, wow.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're a kotaku.
Exactly.
I mean,
I'm
going to
spend like $8,000 on the suit and everything. I'm going to kill people, too. I'm going to kill people.
Are you
going to
bring your dual joystick
sword.
From your Dreamcast version and show it off and be like,
no,
I am Japanese?
I'm going to have the Dreamcast disc running in my back.
Like typing at the dead?
No, like Virtual on Oratorio Tangram. They have a Dreamcast on their back.
Like typing at the dead. They have a Dreamcast on their back, and they're wielding keyboards.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah, they have Dreamcast on their back, and they're... Oh, yeah. Like, typing in the dead.
No Halloween special today, and as I've said. And we're recording on a Saturday, because people are busy this weekend. So, to be quick about it, what have you been playing, Alfred?
I don't remember. I know
wow.
I was playing Warcraft a couple of days out
know.
Of the week. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I played the demo
Hello,
for Guitar Mr. Hero 3 on the controller, and it sucks.
Video games are so fake.
I played...
Heave and Flow!
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Because you failed at 90%!
Shut
That's
up.
That's a hard song.
So,
did you actually?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But what is it? I think I downloaded another... I played the Blue Dragon demo, yeah.
Oh, Genetica RPG.
And I played it for like 5 minutes because I'm like, oh my god, this game is like too much for me right now. I'm trying to play... I was waiting for Guitar Hero 3 to download. And I'm like, Blue Dragon, let's see. And like, you have 60 minutes to play this demo. I'm like, oh god, that means it's long and drawn out.
You have how many minutes?
60. They give you an hour to just like run around and like fight stuff. And
Christ.
I couldn't even really get into the nuances. I just kind of like fought and just chose spells to see how they look.
That's probably what the nuances are.
No, but there's like...
Yeah, I know, there's a combo system, and there's like a dynamic.
Yeah, and I didn't want to get into it, so that was that. Played like 5 minutes of Pokemon, 5 minutes of Picross. I think that's it. Yeah. Tony, what's going on with you?
What you playing, Tony?
Bioshock.
Ah.
And
is it scaring the shit out of you still?
Oh, yeah, still. I'm getting to the point where I'm getting the these fucked up splicers. They're very nimble. They climb on the walls. Had to do one stupid mission, take pictures of the splicers and, like, get, like, a percentage of it so I could move on with the next mission. I thought that was fucking lame and broke
what?
Up the momentum.
God damn it.
Yeah, I hate that shit. It broke up the momentum of the game.
Bioshock
really
Pokemon
like
Snapper.
it truly was. And,
snap.
Yeah. So, whatchamacallit, but I...
Otherwise...
I've taken down about maybe five or six Big Daddies.
Big Daddy!
Big Daddy! And then I saw my first glitch ever.
Hi, it's Mr.
And
Bubbles!
I was actually shocked at how bad this glitch was.
Did you fall to the floor?
Shocked?
Yeah.
Oh, boo!
Here it was. I cleared the little sisters on a level,
Mr.
and
Bubbles.
They just respawned Big Daddy. And he's just roaming around aimlessly trying to find a little sister, which there is none.
Because you eat her.
So he goes to the staircase, and he actually clips the staircase and gets stuck there.
Oh, it's like Ed 209.
Drop it!
So, yeah,
stay out of
just,
trouble.
He was walking in place on like the side of the stairs, and he just couldn't move. He just couldn't move whatsoever. So I decided to shoot him, and he couldn't move.
Nice,
so I was
free
like,
kill.
Easy battle.
Dude, you should have totally gone up to him like from behind and just used the wrench.
Teabag
whoosh,
him.
That's whoosh, what, I... whoosh. What are you looking at? Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Oh, my God. I thought that was actually fucking lame. I'm not used to seeing that, and especially in a game this good. I guess nothing's infallible.
Yeah. The sad thing is that's the problem with a game that promises to be so kind of, and I'm not going to say open-ended because it's linear, mm-hmm. but open-ended in the combat, like you could do tons of shit, is mm-hmm. that once in a while you'll inevitably see glitches when it's so kind of free-form. Mm-hmm. Like Deus Ex, there are tons of glitches with the graphics engine and, like, you know, it crashes on me every now and then. That's fucking annoying, but, so yeah, I mean, and I'm sure there's plenty of similar glitches in things like Grand Theft Auto and Oblivion, so, I mean, that's...
Oh, Grand Theft Auto was fucking monumental with them. Like, for instance, with
the PSP...
I can take
the chopper and stay your house face.
The PSP, for instance, what happened? I think I actually went through an entire building. And, you know, I didn't fall through... Like, usually when you go through a building, it's, like, negative graphics on the floor.
Yeah.
So, like, mm-hmm. you'll fall through space. But I actually continued through the building and came out on the other side. And I thought that was very, very interesting. Just like real life.
Yeah. I mean, I do that all the time. I walk through buildings, turn water into wine, perform
and another
magic
thing
tricks.
Is, da, 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 also, legendary is that when you kill a person, they somehow float about 5 feet above the air. I mean, no, above the ground. So, yeah, they're legendary with this shit. Shut up, Austin! Austin, what are you playing?
I tortured my way through Ninja Gaiden 2 on the NES, downloaded from Virtual Console.
Are you finished
okay.
it?
I am on the last boss, and I'm just
still
hacking
just
away.
Like,
I refuse to finish it. I'm done.
Yeah,
like,
it's
I'm right
like
there,
the
and I've
first
gotten
one.
Enough. I've done enough of the game. I've gotten through all the forms, and I'm done. I mean, I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I see no need to finish it and subject myself to further self-injury. And I'm also playing Lunar Pool, also downloaded from the Virtual Console. For the NES. And
never
it's actually
it.
Fun. More fun than I remember it because, like, when you're 10 and you don't know that. You don't know, like, two shits about geometry, then that game sucks because you're 10 mm-hmm. and you don't know two shits about geometry. And it's pool. And it's pool that takes place on more than a six pocket table that is rectangular. Sometimes the table comes in the form of a Z and there is one pocket. Sometimes the table is a box and there are 10 pockets in the center of the table. Sometimes the table is a regular rectangle with only two pockets, but there's a little pixel of blocking space right in front of the hole, so you have to get around it.
Wow.
But, I mean, that's actually what makes the game cool, is that, like, there's all this real little random cruel shit that it does to you, and you can choose, like, from 60 tables. Like, you don't progress through the game, you can, but you don't have to progress through the game just to see all the tables. You can choose them from the outset.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of cool that way.
Yeah,
I think
cool.
it's worth the 500 points. But I'm playing those two games for a very special reason, which I can't talk about right now, but mm-hmm. maybe next week. Anyone who's listening to this might actually see why soon, but I don't know. Anyway, and I also picked up Guitar Hero 2 yesterday just to kind of warm up for Guitar Hero 3.
You said you weren't.
I said I wasn't, but then I realized that GH3 is coming around the corner, and I would be vastly unprepared. So I went through Jordan 3 times and failed all 3 times. I tried the 5-star Miser loot, did not do that. I played Surrender with the guitar under my legs, behind my head, facing away from the screen, with the guitar neck facing down just because I was bored and I wanted to do some crazy-ass shit with a sucky song. The song doesn't suck, it's just very easy. And I can't remember what else I played just to warm up, but I was doing stupid stuff like taking the guitar and like holding it by the whammy bar, a la Herman Lee. And that's about it. I don't know what else. Oh, yeah, I was playing Outrun on PSP again when I was drunk on the train yesterday. That's about it.
And because you said Jordan, yeah. It reminded me. Yesterday, when I was doing the little video that I made, I was fucking around playing Jordan on my guitar.
Yes.
And you can't really do it without a button to push because I have the Les Paul with the switch that switches between treble and
rhythm.
Right,
but it's not a button.
But you can't get the same effect. Right? So it sounds like it, but it's slower because I have to flip. It's just out of sync. It's like so I was like, oh, I could probably play Jordan. I just need a kill switch installed in my guitar.
How much does that something like that cost?
Probably like $300-$400.
Holy shit.
It's not that much expensive.
It probably isn't, but I'm just not used to that.
Yeah, you gotta buy the button and the switch, which is probably like $30. But you have to get it installed, which would probably cost you like $200.
Right. I see. Kill switch this! Move on to Noose. Are on to the news. We have broken it down into departments just because I'm anal retentive like that. General news, and this is actually encouraging, the Library of Congress loves video games. Well, I wouldn't say it that way, but that's what Kotaku put in their headline. Here is what's this dude's name? Oh, wow, this is a long fucking article. Mark Wilson has written up this feature on Kotaku, which you can get to. By going to kotaku.com/gaming/feature/the-library-of-congress-loves-video-games-3133328.php. Or you can go to Kotaku and just click search and search for one of the keywords. I believe,
it's either library or Congress.
No,
or
no,
loves.
It's not.
31338.
It's not on here, actually. I think the tags are archive, Warren Spector, okay. Linden Lab. Library of Congress actually is on there, yes, so search for Library of Congress. Anyway, to give you the gist of the article, here's what he begins. He begins by saying, when we usually talk about libraries and video games, it's generally a very formulaic story in which small-town library A is battling patent group B or religious group C to offer, fill an M-rated game of choice, for the public to play. The conclusion is often that video games are probably suitable for libraries, but there's controversy, yada, yada, yada. But today we have a different story for you with a very different ending. The fact of the matter is, according to the Library of Congress, video games are just as important to our historical past as literature, movies, and music. And at the moment, the Library of Congress is teaming up with major universities across the country to begin a 2-year initiative with the sole intent of figuring out just how institutions can preserve video games for years to come while making the content accessible for use and study. Can you imagine walking into the New York Public Library on 42nd Street and being able to like play a copy of Pitfall from way back when? Like
that would be cool.
Like on a flawless machine that doesn't bust up or play like Super Mario Brothers 2 or DuckTales without having the graphics all glitch up in a library.
Yeah.
With headphones, because of course you have to be quiet in the library. But you know you have
so
your
own... better not play fucking Ninja Turtles because you yell out in the library and get thrown out.
Or
fuck
Ninja
that.
Gaiden.
Oh god.
Oh, I think he meant Ninja Turtles, the original NES shit, where you had to swim across a stupid jellyfish and it was impossible and you died.
This is a very interesting thing and timely too, because I think it was just last week I read an article. I forgot where it was from. What the hell's wrong with you? Shush. Anyway, the article was talking about how video games are losing their historic, I guess their their history only because they don't keep their old games whatsoever.
Who is this written by?
I forgot where the fuck I read it from.
Because,
I'm not sure if I read it in my magazine or...
Yeah,
or,
because on the One Up the, on the One Up Yours podcast from Ziff Davis, yeah. MTV, Stephen Totillo, he's MTV's video game blogger, he actually brought up that very same point, and it was very, you know, very a very good point that, that you know, I have a problem with. It's like, mm-hmm. He was saying that games don't get preserved. Like, you get Zelda downloadable on Virtual Console, and that's it. It's like...
Yeah, they don't have any, like, the hard copy. You know,
not only that, but, you know, why not remake an old game for new systems only to preserve it and to let mm-hmm. other and to let new people appreciate it? It's kind of, he was saying it's like when you take Rocky and you upscale mm-hmm. it and you put it on Blu-ray. Rocky is a fucking classic.
Right.
You
right.
watch it today as it, in its original transfer and it looks blurry and the kids are like, what the hell is this? But at the very least, you can clean up the image and make it
right.
look a lot nicer on a Blu-ray disc or a HD DVD. But, but now... you know, with games, he was saying the same thing. And it kind of got me thinking. It's like a lot of people are like, the Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess is the same thing as Ocarina of Time. It just looks prettier. And I'm like, so? Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's
your point is.
So it's one of the greatest games of all time that mm-hmm. looks prettier. And it's still one of the greatest games of all time that
mm-hmm.
looks prettier. So what?
Oh, they're just putting out... Tetris again for a PSP.
Well, some people like... No, I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Oh.
So some people like Tetris. It's one of the best puzzle games ever. Why not have it on a PSP?
That's right. Oh, no, they shouldn't remake Final Fantasy VII because that game is whored out so many times with the other Final Fantasies.
No, they should remake it because people want it. And mm-hmm. Regardless of its quality, it is historical in the fact that it was a very important RPG, whether you liked it or not. So they should
Especially
preserve
for
it.
PS.
Yeah. So, yeah. I
Question.
Mean, that was a very good point. I'm sorry, Tony. You were in the middle of something like 10 minutes ago, and I interrupted.
No. I have a different question.
Did you know that 10 minutes have passed? Go ahead, Tony.
What the fuck is wrong with you today?
Your God face is wrong with us.
McPhee. So, whatchamacallit? Are they really remaking Final Fantasy VII for the PS3,
I
or
don't
is that
know.
Just like a graphical thing that
honestly,
they wanted to show?
I honestly don't know. I think, for all intents and purposes, it was a tech demo, but like everybody's like, we want it, and then like...
Mm-hmm. They might do it.
You never know. Square is like probably keeping it close to the vest, and if they were to do it, we probably wouldn't know about it. Personally, mm-hmm. I think enough people want it that they can make money off of it, and they should go ahead and do it.
Sure.
And while I like to shit on the game, like I did enjoy it, and I think it's good mm-hmm. enough to remake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they should do it. I think they should. And I know people are like, no more remakes. But along with
I only agree with that in fucking movies.
Yeah.
There was no reason for Rob Zombie to remake Halloween. Give me a fucking break.
But like, yeah,
and release it in August.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
Because they knew nobody was going to see Rob Zombie's Halloween on Halloween because it sucks
fucking bad. Let's play a game. Yeah. Let's play my movie's going to outsell yours,
oh,
bitch.
Oh, God.
But on to more remakes and redos and retries. Okami for Wii is to be an exact PS2 port.
Port?
With Waggle. This comes from Kotaku again. Brian uh-huh. Ashcraft. Let's see. So Wii is getting a straight-up PS2 port with tacked-on Waggle, and that could be a really great thing, or not-so-great thing. Since Clover Studios is now kaput studio Ready at Dawn, we'll be handling the migration and even use Clover's original code due to time constraints. Ready at Dawn president Didier Malenfant, actually I worked with someone whose last name was Malenfant once a long time ago, stressed how committed he is and his team are to staying true to the original. Says Malenfant, the game on Wii is going to be an exact port of the PS2 version, and I think that's what fans of the franchise want to see. The game has such a huge following throughout the world that people would probably send us death threats if we messed it up by trying to add things that don't have their place in the Okami universe. Being huge fans of this franchise ourselves, we made sure that Capcom also wanted to stay true to the original before signing up to do this. To this day, the graphics of Okami are some of the most awe-inspiring ever seen in a video game, and I know it sounds cliche, but you don't want to fix something that's not broken. We're not so concerned, says Brian Ashcraft of Kotaku, that Ready at Dawn is a very competent studio. We're worried about the controls. Malenfant assures us that Okami and the Wiimote are a perfect combination and feels absolutely awesome. That's what they're really selling here. Playing Okami with the Wiimote. Is that enough to ensure a purchase? Yes, because I don't have it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll reiterate my concerns from last week that controlling the wolf in Twilight Princess with the Wiimote was... making him attack with the thing was kind of annoying. It worked, but I just... was like, okay, I'd rather use a button. But whatever, I survived through that, so I'll live through this.
So. They should just give you an option, though. An option for Waggle.
I wish they did. Yes, I wish they did. Someone gave me the button mapping for Okami, and I was like, okay, you could do every single thing you can with all the buttons on the Wiimote. You can. That's what that's what that D-pad, 1, 2, minus, and plus buttons are there for. Hello? It's out of place. You don't need to have a freaking a well-placed button for a map.
That's right.
I mean, you
I could have a button for a map up my ass, and it'll still work.
So what, you just kind of tense your anus, and it goes, boop, map, and then you tense it again, and it goes away?
Yeah, something like that.
But what happens if you're shitting at the same time, and then, like, you ruin the button?
Then I gotta dig it up and put it back.
Then
it
gets yelled at.
Digging, load runner. Digging on the shit. Load runner. Digging.
Christ, dude.
You've been away for too long, Tony.
Too long.
Our poop has grown.
I guess.
Okay.
It has grown and sprouted plants.
Oh, fuckle.
Poop plant.
Mushroom poop. Okay, on to the gaming business news. Microsoft Games Division doesn't lose money. Again!
Oh my God. That's the second time ever.
This is from Kotaku's Michael Apostrophe, McWhirter. What a difference $330 million in sales of Halo 3 can make. The regularly unprofitable Entertainment and Devices Division, in which the Xbox business resides over at old Microsoft, came up for air this past quarter, posting $165 million in income. Wow. Congratulations, Microsoft. This is like, I don't know how many times Microsoft has made money, but this is one of the only few times.
I heard that this is the second time.
I may have said that in the email just to be snarky about it, so I'm not sure if that's the real thing, but yeah.
Oh, I thought I saw it in another article on another site.
Oh, that's pretty funny then. And it looks like Steve Ballmer's holding a burger in pantomiming, holding a burger in this picture. But yeah, he also looks like a fucking ogre. He's scary as hell.
In other news, Sony blows. That was my little contribution there, because I'm sure Sony isn't doing as well.
Even though the PS2 version of Guitar Hero 3 will probably sell a fuck ton up the ass.
Oh, yeah.
But, so Microsoft, not losing money again. Good job, even though I don't know if they've even still, if they're still in the red, though. Like, cumulatively, if this is the second time they're making money, then they're still at a loss.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
So I'm hoping that they're making a lot of money off of Vista. Oh, wait, never mind.
Never mind.
No, seriously, I am hoping that they are making money somewhere so that they don't fucking fail, because they got a good thing going on with this stupid machine, and if they fail, that'll be annoying.
No, fanboys,
I'm not saying they have failed. Don't jump down my throat. And no, Sony fanboys, I'm not saying they'll fail. Don't jump down their throat. Don't be idiots. More business. Nintendo President Iwata.
My name is Iwata. I ruled out the price cut for Wii because we have no need for price cut.
I mean, seriously. Who's going to cut the price of a $250 machine that you cannot find anywhere?
That was a good line. You can't find it anywhere.
So why
people
cut the
gonna
price?
Buy it? So why are you gonna cut the price? And on top of that, everything else is more expensive than it. So why are you gonna cut the price?
Well, I mean, to be fair, with the Xbox Arcade Pack at $279, that's cutting it very close.
It is. So also, with five free games.
I think that they would be well served by cutting it just to compete, but at the same time, no one cares enough about the price to not buy this thing. So at this point, no, they shouldn't cut the price.
But you know what? I got another point.
30 days ago?
It also comes with five free games.
It does?
Yeah.
We golf,
we boxing, we bowling, and we tennis.
Oh, wow. Because that's right. It's packed in!
That's right. And it's packed with a wireless controller. As opposed to a wired controller that's in the Xbox Arcade.
Yep.
And Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Whereas the and wait a minute, wait. And then they both come with flash memory.
And friend codes. Oh wait, only one of them comes with friend codes. That's right.
Only one of them comes with friend codes. Which is a slight annoyance, but it's okay. We can deal with it.
Fuck friend codes.
Fuck codes. Face codes.
Face friend. Fuck codes. Okay, so
what?
But they will have gifts. Why don't you talk about the gift?
Yes, soon. I guess it's coming out this month. Well, next month. November?
At the end of the month.
They're going to have a little month. Feature in the Wii where you can send virtual console games as gifts to your friends. And when they get the message, it takes them to the Wii Shop channel and they can download it for free on their end because you've paid for it. And I think that's pretty cool because you can send little
games. I have gifted you with Urban Champion. Enjoy.
Oh, that's a mean gift.
That's if you want it. That's if you really hate that person.
Yeah, those gifts to people that you hate.
Urban Champion's a piece of shit. Okay, let's move off the business and go on to reveals. Rock Band has revealed their complete license track list.
Which doesn't really seem like there are big surprises.
Rolling Stones, Gimme Shelter, Aerosmith, Train Kept the Rollin', The Who, Won't Get Fooled Again, Boston, Foreplay, Long Time, Mountain, Mississippi Queen, which is a cover, The Police, Next to You, David Bowie, Suffragette City, Black Sabbath, Paranoid, which is a cover, Blue Oyster, which is also in Guitar Hero 3, Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper, The Ramones,
yes.
Deep Purple, Highway Star, Kiss, Detroit Rock City, Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster, The Outlaw, Green Grass and High Tides, which is a cover, Sweet, Ballroom Blitz, which is a cover, Rush's Tom Sawyer, which Bon Jovi, Wanted Dead or Alive, The Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go, Faith No More, Epic, Pixies, Wave of Mutilation, R.E.M., Orange Crush, Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills, but it's a cover. Foo Fighters Learn to Fly, Metallica, Enter Sandman, Nirvana, In Bloom, Stone Temple Pilots, Vaseline, Weezer Say It Ain't So with the Japanese Chick, Smashing Pumpkins, Cherub Rock, Radiohead Creep, Beastie Boys, Sabotage, Hole, Celebrity Skin, Garbage, I Think I'm Paranoid, Soundgarden, Black Hole, Sun, and From This Century, The Hives, Main Offender, Queens of the Stone Age, You Got to Go
with the Flow,
But not that song.
What?
But not that song.
It is
power chord.
Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah.
Power chord.
That's
nice.
Why I said go with the flow.
Nice. I'm going to have fun with that song.
The Stroke, power chord. Are You Gonna Be My Girl? Okay, Go, Here It Goes Again. Nine Inch Nail, the hand that feeds. Yeah, Maps. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Dana California.
That's a good song.
Come here to Cumbria, Welcome Home. Fallout Boy, Dead on Arrival. The Killers, When You Were Young. New Pornographers, Electric Vision. Oh, hot. Unlockable track is Ban Camaro. Pleasure. And then 12 more yet to be revealed.
Push,
Lady Lightning. What?
Now, apparently, the DLC for this game includes... Well, we know that DLC for this game includes the entire Who album. Who's Next? I think that's what it's called.
I think so.
It also includes 18 Grateful Dead tracks.
Holy shit. Cool. Yeah.
And according to this, you know, the article here in IGN, Metallica is supposed to be a DLC. Now, that's weird. Granted that it's in Guitar Hero 3.
One is in Guitar Hero, yeah.
I also discussed the difference between the two and how weird it would be to be a Rock Band song. The singer's going to be like slapping the mic for like 3-5 minutes straight.
Oh, by the way, this man has played the solo for one and he's better than you. So
36 seconds of
38
craziness.
Seconds of antipode shredding. Or 36, sorry. www.gamespot.com/user/the_antipode. Look at his latest blog entry and see why he's better than you. What's the link on Trigames?
trigames.net/antipode/1_solo.avi.
Is one the number or the word?
The word.
Okay,
only.
So O-N-E
capital
underscore
O,
solo.
I think.
Capital O. Okay. Can people get to that directory or is that do we protect that?
We protected that.
Okay, so you can't get to it, so go to GameSpot.
Because it's mine. My directory.
Your face! Okay, so what are some of the more interesting achievements which are also announced? Go through that list and read some of the more interesting one. Or do you have a list?
I don't have the list on
I will look
moment.
At it. Okay.
I like Unlock a Theater and
Solo. I'm trying to remember from what I saw.
Well, there's an achievement for every instrument that you finish on Expert and finish on every difficulty. Wow, they're being really generous. 50 points for finishing the guitar solo tour on Expert.
Mm-hmm. There's a big point. 50 achievements in this game.
50 points for finishing the drum solo tour, which that I can understand because the drums are probably going to be fucking hard because no one's done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Virtuoso finished the vocal solo tour on Expert, which I will never do because I can't sing! let's see, what else is there?
Reach 1 million fans in Band World Tour, but that's 10 points. Finish the Hall of Fame induction in Band World Tour. That's 100 points. Platinum Artist. Finish the Endless Set List in Band World Tour on Expert, 25.
How do you finish an Endless Set List?
I guess you just tour around and you just play whatever's on there.
Or maybe something. It's like called yeah. Endless.
There are features on it that probably explain it. I just didn't read it yet. There are location achievements. Finish this in Chicago, in Stockholm, in Rome, in Amsterdam, in New York City, in Seattle, all that shit.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Finish big in Reykjavik. Wow. No, you can't. What's up?
Did you say that the one with the endless set list is called Platinum Artist?
Yeah. Let me scroll back up. Yeah, I believe so. No. Yes. 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 Yes.
And the last achievement is something about hanging on the coattails. Is that something like finish with a platinum artist or something like that?
Riding on coattails, play with a platinum artist, yeah.
that's what it means. Because everybody, I think in the article that linked to this site, I think it was from Kotaku, they were wondering what the platinum art, what the riding on the coattails thing was. Mm. So I'm guessing is if somebody online is a platinum artist and you play a show with them, you get riding on the coattails.
Yeah. I'll get this 10 points. Flawless Fretwork. Score 100 points. Hit as a guitarist and expert. Just fire up the easiest song.
Yeah, I was like, I think I'll have to do that on like the first song.
Yeah. And that's one more revelation. Halo 3 Smash, Save Film was a smash hit. So they're bringing the smash hit. To Smash Brothers, bro! That's why it's coming in February. Yeah, I see. You know, that's why I delayed the game. No, we don't know why that's delayed, but they are doing Save Films. Now, maybe some voice chat and a headset, maybe. I don't know. You might want to get on the bandwagon.
Data dream.
Yeah,
data
I think
dream.
They might.
They better because they're stupid. But yeah, you can save your your latest I Knocked You the Fuck Out of the Ring and send them to people.
And there's a lot of good potential shit because we used to have some crazy knockouts. Like, I used to be the master of knocking people straight down when they used to try and get back onto the field. And I would just go and just slam them with Samus's gun. And they would just, down in attack. And they would just fly down with them. It would be so embarrassing. So if I could get shit
like
that and send it to everybody. Yeah.
Jesus.
A real hard one.
It's just like that. Except there's no splash up when you drop a body in Smash Bros.
There is splash up when you drop a body.
No, wait. It should be in a water level, and it should be the Link in the brown suit that you hit. And it should be Donkey Kong doing it so that it looks like, you know, a little Dookie's coming
at it.
What?
Oh, God.
Splush.
Oh, man.
Okay, so yeah, Save Films and Smash Brothers, and with that, we're going to move on to Smack Talking and PMS. Some people are really bitchy. This has been updated, but I want to start with the original story first. This is Patrick Klepek from 1UP.com. The messy politics of controller compatibility and competing IPs for guitars. So, he begins by basically saying that there was some uncertainty over the compatibility between the guitars and... he says, starting with the release of Guitar Hero 3 at Legends of Rock, gamers will have to make a choice about which Rockstar imitating title to align with, or pony up double the money, which I pre-ordered Rock Band on Amazon, and I'm getting Guitar Hero 3 sometime late next week. So whatever, I've already, you know, dumped my money in.
Yeah, fuck ponying.
Fuck pony! The companies involved are shaping the impending musical battle to be one or the other affair for gamers with a hush-hush mentality, falling over guitar compatibility between the two games with almost identical gameplay interfaces. If you purchase Rock Band, you cannot use that controller in Guitar Hero 3. Technically, players can navigate the menus, but actual gameplay is completely broken. And we've heard that there are absolutely no plans for Red Octane, Neversoft, and Activision to release a patch implementing support after a launch. On the flip side, if you purchase Guitar Hero 3's bundle, there's a very good chance that you cannot use that controller in Rock Band. I think he might have made a typo here, or it just wasn't updated yet, because you actually can. We don't have the Guitar Hero 3 peripheral on hand to provide the absolute confirmation, but no one would confirm support to 1UP. We asked both sides for confirmation of a simple yes or no to compatibility. So it makes sense. There's one positive to the solution. I'm sorry, to the situation. If you already own the Xbox 360 Explorer bundled in with Guitar Hero 2, that will work in both games. We personally tried it. Given that Rock Band developer Harmonix worked hand-in-hand with Red Octane on developing the Explorer, it's hardly surprising. Now, here's the important part that he's about to come up with why. People may be thinking, oh, Guitar Hero 3 is better because its guitar is more compatible. That's actually not the case. When I say better, I mean better business-wise, like, oh, they're being more fair. let's see. Red Octane declined to comment when contacted about the story.
When asked
why, the company refused to elaborate, but the issue of compatibility is a thorny issue for all parties involved. Harmonix, however, did issue one up a statement that seems to point the finger squarely at Red Octane, Neversoft, and Activision. So, for all those who haven't been paying attention, Red Octane, Neversoft, Activision equals Guitar Hero, Harmonix equals Rock Band. And here's what Harmonix says in their official statement. Quote, Harmonix develops and bases all of our games, guitars, and other peripherals on open standards established by platform manufacturers such as Microsoft and Sony. Rock Band is no exception and supports an open controller standard. Guitar controllers are like any other standard game controller. The controller sends a signal back to the game depending on the buttons you push. If a third-party game controller is based on open standards, then it should work with Rock Band as well.
Right.
And then Patrick Klepek goes on to write that this would suggest that Guitar Hero 3 interface doesn't use open standards provided by Microsoft and Sony. Which is kind of fucked up. They probably have something to detect whether or not you're using a guitar that was made for Guitar Hero.
I would say that
That and the past ones, too. Somehow they detect that, too. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that odds are if... Well, I mean, this is based on the first article. That the guitar, when you plug it into the game or when you connect it wirelessly to the game...
Yes.
It identifies itself as, you know... Guitar Hero 3 guitar, as opposed to Xbox controller.
Right.
That probably sends a completely different set of language communications
right.
to the game.
That's fucked
which
up.
Would probably result in more work.
Right.
As opposed to saying, this is an Xbox controller, and when you press green, it's like pressing left
right.
trigger.
Because, you know, like, the way the PS2 controller works is that it has an imaginary D-pad. Because, you know, it goes by controller standard. So it has a D-pad programmed in. To the controller, mm-hmm. but you don't have a D-pad. And it's always pressing down on left. So when you boot up the game detects that the controller is holding down on the left D-pad. Left on the D-pad. And it's like, oh, he must be using a guitar. So if you... I think that's the way it works. So if you actually boot up Guitar Hero or Guitar Hero 2 or Rock City 80s on the PS2 with a controller and you hold down left, it'll think you're using a guitar.
Hmm. Which means that'll make the game harder because... you'd have to strum.
Yeah, exactly. You have no way to strum.
When you play with the guitar, you play with the controller, when you press the button, it strums and hits the button at the same time.
Now, this is according to some guy who built his own Guitar Hero 2 guitar. That's why he found that out. So,
mm-hmm.
But here's an update from 1UP about the compatibility. Guitar Hero 2's Explorer for the 360, you can use it in Rock Band, Guitar Hero 2, and Guitar Hero 3. Guitar Hero 3 Les Paul controller. You can use it in Rock Band, Guitar Hero 2, and Guitar Hero 3.
That's my bass guitar.
Rock Band Stratocaster. You can use it in Rock Band. In Guitar Hero 2, it is unknown, but unlikely. Although I will say that if it is based on open standards, you probably can, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And in Guitar Hero 3, nope! So, there you go. Actually... Let me take a quick look again at that, and I risk crapping out my internet connection here. So the Rock Band guitar does have a D-pad. Okay, so I was just wondering. Now, more trash talk. And this is a perfect segue, because it's a Rock Band developer who's dishing out some PlayStation 3 hate with some poorly spelled words, I might add. But this is from Susan
Arendt
at Game Life. Jason Booth, who until recently worked for Harmonix, recently added to his blog a lengthy explanation of just why he feels ports of the PS3 will never be as good as their 360 counterparts and why most PS3 exclusive will most likely continue to suck.
Wow.
Booth says that gamers who are of the opinion that developers bringing games to the PS3 are doing a bad job have been duped by Sony's, quote, impressive marketing spin. And goes on to respond to some of the more frequent arguments used to support the PS3, such as that the PS3 is more graphically advanced than the 360. He says that the fill rate is significantly slower. and the cell processor is extremely powerful. Not really, he says. Booth, who worked on Guitar Hero 1 and 2 and Rock Band before leaving Harmonix to join Conduit Labs, sums up his sentiments thusly. So the common theme is this. Developers must spend significantly more time and resources getting the PS3 to do what the 360 can already do easily and with a lot less code. I read through this, and, you know, some of me skeptical, because they're all, as much as they are developers and they have experience with the system, everybody has their biases. Everybody will align to one platform or the other. Mm-hmm. So you have to read this with a grain of salt, but you also must read this knowing that he is a developer and you are not. You are just a fanboy. So if you want to write a comment, just be doubly sure that you're being objective about this shit. Realize that, A, he knows more than you do, and also that, yes, he might be a fanboy as well. Because I've fucking read through this thing, and the comments on there are just insane and inane. It's like, oh, this guy, you know, stucks a dick up his ass, and he's a fucking retard. He doesn't know shit about games. He should go back to make his stupid pony and dance games. And I'm like, what? Wow. And then other people are like, I never heard of Harmoniax. There's just some stupid little game studio. What are they doing?
Harmoniax.
This Rock Band game is copying off of Guitar Hero. And I'm like,
oh my
Jesus
God.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Harmonix made Guitar Hero. So shut up. He probably knows what he's talking about. There's another like kind of fanboyish developer on there who brings up good points, you know, albeit the fact that he's... I mean, both of these guys are probably like really aligned to their platform. And it's like... But they do have the facts. And the fact is that the PS3 fill rate, as he says, is actually not slower. Mm-hmm. So he fucked that one up. But this other developer came in with balanced arguments about, you know, components being balanced, and when you take a look at the average load and the average balance of all the system parts working in harmony, the fill rate for the PS3 is slower. And this is just one. I'm just bringing out an example of one of his arguments. And like it just goes back and forth between him and like the other two developers saying like, oh no, you're using fill rate in the wrong context. Oh no, you said this about how they render pixels, so you obviously don't know that much about how intensive programming is. Blah 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 blah. And it goes back and forth. I recommend that people do read this just to get a perspective on, like, the insight that might be going on, even if it is a bit false or even if it is a bit misguided, only because, like, it's better to read this from a technologically sound blogger than, like, some forum post. Because, I mean, really, like, people go around saying, oh, I read this in a magazine and that in a magazine, and, like, it rarely comes from the horse's mouth. So, if you want to read it, the link is... jbooth, J-B-O-O-T-H, .blogspot.com. And I believe it's the most recent entry. And if it's not, just look for the one with like a zillion comments. And there you go. And Al has fallen asleep.
Yep. No, I'm not. You heard that?
Yeah, I heard like a...
Yeah, I was explaining to somebody that when she touches the earpiece of my headset, you can hear it in the mic.
Uh-oh.
And then she started making that sound at me, so I made that sound back at her. And now everybody thinks I'm sleeping.
Again. Episode 45, FTD. No, that was 46, I'm sorry. With Shen Dingle Bong Dongbo. Okay, more shit talking. Will, again, this is from
Susan!
What? From Wired. Game Life. Blog. Will Wright loves Advance Wars. Says Wii is the only real next-gen console.
Damn right.
What? Sims Will. Creator and from a certain viewpoint, but still. Sims Creator and industry icon Will Wright is and will always be a PC gamer at heart, but just can't get enough of Advance Wars on the DS. In his interview with The Guardian Unlimited, he explains that although he tries to play innovative games like Guitar Hero as they come out, Advance Wars is the only game he spends a, quote, huge amount of time playing, end quote. Wright also says that although he doesn't have a PS3, and his 360 is gathering dust, he actually said gathering dust.
Mm-hmm. Collecting dust.
Yeah. Collecting dust, yeah. He does use the Wii quite a bit, going so far as to say, to him, it's the only real next-gen system. And here's what he says. The only next-gen system I've seen is the Wii. The PS3 and the Xbox 360 feel like better versions of the last, but pretty much the same game with incremental improvement. But that the Wii feels like a major jump. Not that the graphics are more powerful, but that it hits a completely different demographic. In some sense, I see the Wii as the most significant thing that's happened, at least on the console side, in quite a while. Now, I can predict that 200,000 zillion fanboys are peppering this blog, or not this specific blog, because the Game Life readers are actually somewhat intelligent. But the original posts are probably saying, oh, he should go back to making stupid SimCity games which don't do anything. Newsflash, The Sims is one of the best-selling games in the world, unfortunately, but it is, so shut up.
And it's one of, as Mr. Nolan Bushnell says in our next law article, that was one of the most innovative games that we've seen in this day and age.
Life, the game. Except that's you right. Can't do all of your life. But yeah,
except you
I
don't
mean,
spin a wheel. Game of life?
I'll say this much. I mean, this whole next-gen, current-gen, last-gen generation, super-powered bullshit, cock shit, nose fuck is getting annoying. you gotta be fair here. I mean, there's so many ways you can think about next gen. I mean, let's take a look at, there are such things as next gen graphics. So if you want to judge your experience by the visual fidelity, then the Xbox 360 and PS3 are next gen systems. If you want to judge it by the hands-on experience, the Wii is a next gen system. If you want to be smart and maybe just play games and not give a shit about that, then yeah, do that. But yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like, you can't, what he's saying is kind of true, yes, a lot of these things are similar games, not necessarily innovating. Gears of War is a spruced up shooter, Halo is a spruced up shooter, NBA 2K7 is a spruced up, but you know what, like, the improvements that they make to the genre are things that, because of the technology in the systems, could not be done on previous machines.
And that makes it next generation.
That does make it next gen, yeah, because like it's taking the next step forward. Maybe it's not a revolutionary leap. I think that's really what he should be saying, is revolutionary versus just incremental. You know, because next generation is next generation, and we should all just shut up and stop using that and just play our fucking games. But we can't play games because apparently they're shit. Why, Alfred?
Because Nolan Bushnell hates games of today, quote-unquote, calling them, quote-unquote, pure, unadulterated trash.
Trash, 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 trash. And why is that? History's sake, who is Nolan Bushnell?
Nolan Bushnell is the guy who
put Tony's high score and Pitfall up in the magazine.
Yeah. He is the guy who built Atari, the first major video game company.
Atari!
I do believe that he was the man behind Pong. Was that correct?
Maybe. I research.
It's in the GameTap thing. It says Pong, it says Atari, and it says owns a lot of effing businesses. And this dude is hilarious in this interview. They ask him, like, all sorts of questions, like, you know, what do you constitute as innovative? And he talks about how the Wii is innovative, how The Sims was innovative, how Dance Dance Revolution and Guitar Hero were innovative, because, you know, those are ways that you play games in completely different ways.
Let me stop you right there for a second.
Go for it.
It says, here, in 1972, Bushnell and Dabney, blah, 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 blah. They incorporated under the name Atari. Blah, 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 blah. To handle the additional work, they hired their first employee, engineer Al Alcorn. Bushnell later bought out Dabney, who was worried about the success, blah, blah, blah. Despite his initial denials, Nolan Bushnell signed the guestbook at Burlingame, California demonstration of Magnavox Odyssey and set about the task of taking the Magnavox tennis game design and making a coin-op version of it as a test project for Atari's new engineer. Alcorn would incorporate many of his own improvements to the game design, such as scoring and sound, and Pong was born. So Nolan Bushnell took a Magnavox design, and Alcorn created it out of Nolan's design. So he was one of the men behind Pong. He was one of three people. He was one of three entities behind Pong. The other two being Alcorn and his competitor, Magnavox. But continue with your
and the sport of tennis.
Yeah. Continue with
thing. Yeah, so he says, I'm trying to remember this. Do you have the GameTap thing up?
I have the Kotaku article up.
Click on the link for the GameTap thing.
Kill your face, click link. Oh, he says kill the editors on GameTap. That's why I said kill your face.
Oh, kill the editors, he says, because he feels that the editors, not like magazine editors, but the people who... the suits who are behind the games who say, well, what is this like? You know, if you bring up a project in a corporate meeting,
isn't that called the production team?
The production team Well, he says editors because he says that they edit a game to
old.
Make it look like, you know,
old.
It's probably an old term. But, you know, you bring a game up to a corporate meeting, and the guys in the corporate meeting are like, well, what's this game like? And then if you say nothing, you know, that's pretty much asking to not get your project done.
Unless you're BioWare or someone powerful.
Right, unless you have the clout.
Yeah, and if you are BioWare, you control that shit yourself. You don't even have producers because you are the producers, and, like, all you need is a publisher.
Right. And so then he goes and says, and this is taken directly from the interview with GameTap. Nolan Bushnell says, yes. And, you know, I always like to say these guys... Okay. I always like to say these guys always ask the question, what's it like? And if you say nothing, that's the worst thing you can do. But by definition, the truly innovative can't say that it's like this. You know, what was Tetris like?
Well, it was like...
Nothing. Like nothing before.
Let me finish!
So
that's what I found the funniest. Is that
that was
like,
the funniest
well,
part.
It was like, he was like, nothing.
Yeah, so I really wanted to point that out, and thank you for helping me reenact that and make it accurate.
No, it was like, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And he says, talks about Halo 3 and Grand Theft Auto. He says, GameTap asks, so when you levy criticism, are all games worthy of criticism, or is it just a narrow segment? He says a narrow segment.
Okay. So he's not going out there and saying all games are pure, like, shit, cock, like these stupid blogs are saying, oh, he hates all games.
Right.
He's just saying a narrow segment. Okay.
So then he goes, at the end of the interview, he goes, I actually hadn't even thought about it, where they asked him at the end of the day, did you think that your comments would cause such a ruckus and would sort of collect so much reaction, saying that games are unadulterated trash and all that stuff?
Right.
So Nolan says, I actually hadn't even thought about it. I know that I was very surprised by the amount of press I got when, 6 months before the introduction, I said the PS3 is going to be a failure and the Wii U is going to be a huge success.
Look who's laughing now!
Everybody thought I was crazy, so that was kind of fun. But on this one, it was just a regular business interview.
So, not to say the PS3 is a failure because it's not, and it's in year one, but it's not doing as well as they wanted it to, where the Wii is runaway success, so... Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, people have to remember that Nolan is now a businessman first.
Mm-hmm.
Considering all the businesses he owns, he knows his way around the business. Whether or not, I mean, it's like the whole analyst thing. Yes, people can be wrong. Of course they're wrong sometimes. No one can predict the future. But I'd rather trust what he says than Joe Johnson Billabob, like, fucking on the street playing his...
Joe Johnson.
Playing his Game Boy in the corner saying, Nintendo is going to rule the world and you just see because they have Mario and Halo's gay. You know?
Mario.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, whatever. But yeah, that was kind of an audacious statement to kind of throw out there. Oh, trash! So, now Tony's asleep. That sounded more like a bubbly fart.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It was the bubble coming
out
the nose.
That was my ass, so.
That was
so it fits. Yeah, it fits well.
Oh, that's nasty. That's just the height of too nasty. Do you have anything to say about this topic?
Giggity. No, you said enough.
All right, let's move on to bag of shit. And watch girls take a shit. In the stalls. All right.
Tell girl.
Oh.
You act like you've seen it.
No, I read the description. That's enough.
Yeah, I've heard the description from a couple of friends. I'm like,
Giggity!
Giggity!
Bam!
Okay. All right, we're here at the bag of shit with Quagmire. Hello, Quagmire.
Dude.
Do you want to take a bag of shit today?
Wait, Austin.
What's up?
Your sound quality has completely changed since you started talking like Quagmire.
All right.
It sounds like you're in a tunnel full of dicks.
What exactly is a tunnel full of dicks?
Okay, well, we couldn't really take a tunnel full of dicks thing, but
I Okay, I'll stop that.
Thank you, Games for Windows. Thank you. Thank
yes,
you so
we
much.
We can't take credit for the tunnel full of dick stings that comes from the Games for Windows podcast. GFWradio.oneup.com. Listen to our podcast. Okay. Yo, yo. Okay.
Let's see.
Who wants to go first with their bag of cocky dookie?
I'd like to begin because I remember the one from last week.
Cocky dookie.
Aha.
My bag shift for this week is Dragon Ball Z Shin Butoden.
Dragon Ball.
For Super Nintendo.
Can you say that normally? Because I had no idea what you said there.
What, you don't know Dragon Ball Zeto?
Zeto?
That's how they say Z in Japan.
There,
Zeto.
Zeto. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, so... Well, if you were to watch any episode of Dragon Ball Z in Japan, like the original episode, they would go, Dragon Ball Zeto!
Dragon Ball Zeto!
So Dragon Ball Z Shin Butoden, the first Super Nintendo Dragon Ball fighting game for the Super Nintendo. Yes, that was redundant.
Redundant.
The first Super Nintendo game for the Super Nintendo.
It sucked. It was a good game, when you were 12, but if you were to play it now, or even if you were to play it when you were 13, that game blows. Let me tell you, there's like 8 characters in the game, right? It's like it's based around the story of Cell.
Kakarota.
So it's all the characters from that era. Basically, it's Goku, old Goku, little Gohan back when he was like 8.
Vegeta.
Has Vegeta, Trunks, and Cell.
Trunks. Does it have the Ginyus?
I think it. No, it doesn't have the Ginyus. Because that was from Frieza. That was before.
No, but if they're talking about Cell, then that was after the Namek saga. So. Oh, nerd time! Uh-oh!
You want to discuss the intricacies and the thematic differences of Dragon Ball Z with me?
Wait, don't you dare
study the name! It has a lot of societal impact and a lot of deep messages!
Shut up, Austin.
You shut your face!
Actually, I'm a little confused at the moment. Dragon Ball Z 2, which was an okay fighting game, it just had one major flaw. That was based around the Cell Saga.
The jumping
and it had
was
a very
shit
wonderful
in that
story.
Game, in the second one.
Oh, okay.
Well, the major flaw for the second one was that every time you did a super move from across the screen, the game would pause for like 3 seconds. And it was terrible. And they fixed it in 3, but 3 had no story mode.
So it really was...
Are you saying the
pausing was a bug or just you didn't like it? Because I agree with you, it was annoying, but I think that was by design.
Was it lag?
No, I think it was by design.
No, what happened was that you did a super move from all the way across the screen, right? Okay. And it would split the screen, you do your super move, it would take out the other person's half, you do your super move, you shoot it, right?
Yeah.
And then the other person, depending on what they did or didn't do, whatever happens at the end of it. At the end, they stand still for like 3 seconds.
Jesus.
And then they fight again.
Right, but...
And it just broke... I don't know if it was a bug or if
well,
it was probably
mean,
a design
you mean when
decision.
It hit the guy?
No. After everything was said and done.
Right, when it hit the guy. Like, if it hit the guy or if he deflected
or if he blocked
whatnot.
It, deflected anything. And then they would just stand there and look at each other for like 3 seconds. You can't move, can't do anything. And then you'd be able to fight.
Yeah, I always thought that was like for some stupid dramatic effect, which I agree was stupid, but I thought that was by design. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it just completely broke up the gameplay. And then in the third game... as soon as you did the move and as soon as everything resolved, you continued fighting.
What I liked about the third game is that you could do a fireball when you were right next to them and it would just, like, split it.
Yeah. And
but continue with your shit of bag.
But yeah, the first one, I think it actually was around the Frieza saga. It had Frieza, it had Piccolo, it had Goku, little baby Gohan from when he was, like, 4.
When he had the gay stupid haircut?
Yeah, with the bowl haircut.
Oh, God.
I don't think it had Trunks in it. It might have, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Had Vegeta and 2 other characters, so I can't really remember. I don't know if
they had...
Well,
it wouldn't have Trunks if it was just on the Namek saga. Trunks came during the Cell thing.
Right. And he came back to kill Frieza afterward.
Right.
You guys really need to nerd out on like a Dragon Ball podcast. Seriously, what's bad about this game? Come on, let's get a move on.
Yeah, so you fight and stuff, right? And all that fireball stuff that we were just talking about from 2 and 3, it exists. Like you have to go all the way to the end of the screen.
They're dead.
And shoot the fireball.
They're all dead.
But I don't think you can retaliate. You weren't able to retaliate. So, like, as soon as somebody had their power up, they just fly to the end of the screen, and you'd be chasing them and stuff. And as soon as you got the distance and did the move, that was it. You scored the hit. And you also had to wait until the screen was split. You had to be far enough from each other to be able to go up and down. The gameplay was very slow. The gameplay was, it was sort of like basic, whereas like, okay, you run around, you jump, you dash, and stuff like that. You have a punch and a kick button and a fireball button, just like all the other games. But the gameplay was just like incredibly slow, and it was undesirable. Like, you really just
couldn't. I don't want it.
You really wouldn't enjoy it. I mean, I guess you would enjoy it in 1990.
Right.
Because there was nothing else.
Exactly.
But then when you get to it, and you go to the point of, oh, Dragon Ball Z2 was 15,000 times better, and that could have been the first one. Why couldn't you just wait a year?
Because people like to buy the shitty game, and then they come out with the sequel, and people buy the sequel more.
Well,
because
it
has two at the end of it.
Was Dragon Ball Z even in the States as a cartoon show during that time?
Oh, no, not at all. Dragon Ball Z didn't enter the States until
90. So they were just probably riding on the popularity from the Japanese sales and said, okay, let's bring it over to the U.S.
No.
You imported it, right?
These were all Japanese games.
Yeah, he imported it.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about American Dragon Ball games. That's even shittier. Tony, you got a bag of shit?
Okay, now, I got three, and the three are from one company, so if I can't talk about three, then I'll talk about one.
Pick one.
Talk about them three.
Pick one so you can have one for next week, too.
Well, no, I'll talk about one others, because I want to talk about the three, because they're very quick, and I'll save that from another time if we're pressed.
Go ahead with it. Are you pressed,
Austin?
No.
I would say we would probably get more dramatic enjoyment out of this one.
Dramatic! Dick.
You may know and love them all well. They're from a little-known company called LJN. And they are...
Oh, God.
They are Jaws. They are Friday the 13th.
They are
Nightmare on Elm Street.
The LJN trilogy.
And they all fucking blow. Let's not even talk about Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3.
They are NFL football for Nintendo.
Lap job.
Let's not even talk about that. Okay, let's first start off with Jaws. Premise of Jaws, you got to go and dive and collect seashells so that
Chocolate
you could use these
rain.
Seashells. So you could use these seashells to buy stuff to eventually kill Jaws. And how do you kill Jaws?
By throwing seashells at him?
Well, first, you got to harpoon him, okay, in the water with your dinky little diver.
Fair.
And you got to use turbo button, because if you don't have turbo button, Jaws is going to eat your ass faster than you can play it, okay? So after you get Jaws to a level where he's almost dead, now comes the charges where you press a button and Jaws jumps out of the water and you got to hit him with the mast of the boat. And then that ends the game.
Wait, you kill him with the boat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, you kill him with the boat?
With the mast of the boat,
The point on the front
god,
of the boat.
That is so stupid. Oh my god.
And then it's game over, no ending, thank you very much, thanks for playing, goodbye.
You don't even get to eat him?
That would be an ultimate ending to Jaws.
If it had,
if it had like, Gorton Fisherman, you know, the guy in the yellow raincoat, the Gorton's Fisherman, you know what I'm talking about?
Did Last Summer guy?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
But now it'd be cool if like you hit Jaws with the mast of the boat, right? As soon as you hit it, it's like and then the next thing you see is a black screen with a picture in the center of like that Gorton's fisherman guy eating shark on a table, like cut up and cooked and stuff. It's like thank you.
Long John Silver.
He's gotta say something good. He'd be like, "Arr, them's good eats."
I know what you did last summer. I me fish sticks.
Oh man. Second game is Friday the 13th. You play one of six, I think it's six or seven camp counselors. I forgot what. Your purpose is to run around the camp in a circular manner, throwing rocks at stuff. Throwing rocks at stuff. Okay, so that your ultimate thing is to protect Jason from going into a cabin and killing one of the other counselors. Now, how do you do this? How do you achieve this?
Throwing rocks at
nice
him.
Feat here. Yeah, you go into the cabin, he surprises you, which was a nice touch, and then you hit him with rocks.
Wait. But doesn't he have, like a knife or a chainsaw or, like, a gas
gun? Machete.
Or, like, a rocket launcher or something?
Machete versus rock? Machete versus rock, machete wins. So yeah. Here you are trying to bag him with rocks.
And he has a fucking rocket launcher. How do you fucking... There's something
that's Jason
stupid.
X.
You know, so let's just put it this way. I didn't play enough of the game to get different weapons so I could finally kill Jason and get a Jaws ending.
But
I'm pretty sure it would have had the Jaws ending. Mm. I probably would have had him had to hit him with a boat.
You mean it would have had a fisherman sitting at the dinner table with a
eating Jason?
And you'll see Jason's mask on the table.
Machete.
You'll see him holding the machete like that.
I know what you did last summer.
Oh, man.
And I know what you're doing next summer.
And the last one is Nightmare on Elm Street. It was a pretty good idea. You get to play one of, I think, 4 or 6 kids again.
Splatterhouse.
And they have what's called the real world and a dream world. In a dream world, they get to take on different characters. So, like, you could be a ninja, you could be a gymnast, you could be a magician,
ninja,
you know,
vanish.
Shit like that. Which was a pretty decent idea, except Freddy looked like a piece of shit. He wasn't scary at all. He looked jagged. He looked badly animated, okay? And when he comes around, it's like, here comes Freddy! And you're like, fucking... It's so lame. So anticlimactic. I was like, oh, this shit is boring, you know? So,
here comes Freddy, I know what you did last summer, brother.
And again, I didn't play far enough to see if I have to hit him with a boat, too, and get the Gordon Fisherman.
Hit Freddy with a boat.
Gordon, be goody.
Burr.
So that's my bag of Deuce Bigelow.
You fucking won that one, because mine is not that, well, I think it's horrible.
Uh-huh.
I played it on GameCube, but it originally was out on Dreamcast, and I don't know if the GameCube version added stuff to it, but Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, I never played that one.
Was a piece of horse turd mixed in with oatmeal and fish eggs, marinated ever so slightly in red wine, toasted with a little bit of garlic, and then stepped on by an elephant.
Then hit it with a boat.
Stepped on by an elephant. And then hit by a boat, yeah.
Oh, and then you see black screen with the Gordon's fisherman.
Eating Sonic.
You see
and
like a blue porcupine just like roasted on the table. Arr, them's good eats.
Arr, them's good eats. He's too fast for me.
No, it would be good if he did have a porcupine.
No, the line should be, Trotter, run away now, bitch. You're dead. How could you run without your legs? No, but like, okay, so here's what I like about a Sonic game in general.
Yeah.
You go really fast, mm-hmm. and you don't necessarily have that much control over how fast you go or where you're going because it's all laid out for you and it kind of just goes fast and you collect shit. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about getting too lost. I don't think that getting Tails in, like, a mech or a robot and shooting lasers at people and having the mech walk at 2 miles an hour is fast.
No.
I don't think
it's
a game with, like, the worst camera control this side of Super Mario Sunshine / Ninja Gaiden on Xbox / what else can I think of is, you know, going to help you not get lost. Just saying. And the fact that the Sonic portions in which you do go fast are maybe 20% of the game. Oh, well, yeah. That's what I was looking for. That's what I spent $50 on.
And it's only the Sonic portion.
There's a multiplayer mode in which you race down rails, which is kind of like Sonic Riders, which came out 2 years ago and was a piece of marinade.
Oh, but wait. Don't you play as Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic 2?
You play as Shadow the Hedgehog in Shadow the Hedgehog, and you have a gun, and you have
No, that's not what I'm talking about, Shadow Hedgehog. I'm talking about Sonic Adventure 2.
I don't know. I never
I
got
do
far
know.
Enough.
Yes, actually... You play as Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, Shadow, Rouge, and whoever... Oh, the robot. And they all mirror each other. So basically, like, Sonic and Shadow, they have, like, running stages.
Okay.
Knuckles and Rouge have, like, discovery, like, treasure hunt stages. And Tails and
stages.
That robot, they have shooting stages.
So they didn't bring back that big fucking cat?
No, they didn't bring back the cat.
Thank God.
That cat, was the worst mission.
That fishing shit sucked.
That really dumbed down that game, seriously.
Big the cat.
Big the Cat.
Oh, eat my the God. Cat.
Big the Cat.
It's pretty sad when like Sonic and the Secret Rings happens to be like the pinnacle, the best Sonic 3D game.
Wow.
I'm going to put...
Wow.
With the exception of Sonic Adventure 1, because I never played that and heard that one was the only good one.
It was pretty good. I actually went through that entire game. Okay. I didn't go through 10% of Sonic Adventure 2, and I got the 10th anniversary version from Japan.
God.
I was all like, oh, man, this could be so great.
And it was.
Please.
But, like, yeah, I mean, like, a Sonic Adventure 1 aside, the fact that, you know, Secret Rings is the best one. And that's not even saying that Secret Rings was shitty. It was okay. I didn't like it, but, it was decently done. It looked pretty, and, you know, I think that certain people would like it, and it does go fast, but it's just I couldn't bear the other objectives. But it was better than everything else out there, and that's sad. I mean, especially when you consider, like, the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions of Sonic giving you a 60-second load time in between.
Yeah.
Like, there's this part that I saw on YouTube where, like, you have to guess which crate something is in. And
yeah.
You have to, it's like a kind of a quiz, like, in the middle of a game, and you have, like, 7 guesses that you have to go through. And after every guess, like, it loads for, like, 65 seconds.
That's
horrible.
Lame.
Go on YouTube and look up, like, Sonic Xbox 360 load times or something like that. It's terrible.
Absolutely.
Okay, enough of shitty bag. Let's move on to something more pleasant. And that's
flush toilet.
Talking.
Finish the flush. Believe.
Finish the flush. Believe, Master Chef. Okay.
Master Chunks.
Master Chunks. What does that one chunk want? Main topic, and something that I actually personally wanted to talk about just from seeing all this hubbub. For those who don't know, Ratchet & Clank came out for the PlayStation 3 finally. It was one of the games that a lot of people were looking forward to. I am looking forward to buying it.
You know, I'm looking forward to buying the first one.
I still need
to get the first one.
I have the first one. It's really fun, but I want to get this one. The problem is that I don't want to buy a six-axis, because I know DualShock 3 is going to come out, so I'm going to wait to import that or buy a six-axis or whatever, DualShock 3, and then I'll buy this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it does have wiggle control. So,
okay.
But yeah, so it came out and everybody loved it, most everybody, except for one site, and that's GameSpot. Aaron Thomas gave it a 7.5, and the forums exploded.
Yeah,
kind of like when Jeff Gerstmann gave Twilight Princess an 8.8. Except I don't know if this was worse or better. I totally stayed out of the forums that day because I didn't want to see the fucking like. Shit rag that was going on because, you know, honestly, that's really stupid. But I'm going to go to GameSpot right now.
Right now.
And
right
look at
fucking
his,
now.
And look at his reviews. I'm sorry, look at the player reviews that are currently up.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. Austin, is this the one that changed his rating?
No, they do not change ratings anymore. They only changed it once, and that was for Shenmue. And that's when they determined that it was kind of ridiculous, and they would never, ever do it again. Let's see. Ratchet and Clank. Future. Tools of Destruction. 7.5. Which, mind you, is quote-unquote good.
Mm-hmm. But it's not excellent.
Yeah. So.
But it's also not abysmal.
Yeah, not abysmal. I am looking at the reviews by the readers. Okay, this first one, I think they finally learned their lessons because a lot of the bad reviews were like, you know, oh, GameSpot is stupid. GameSpot is biased against Sony and the Microsoft. bought them with the money, and Sony is awesome, and GameSpot is vagina. And all those reviews are not here anymore because I think the moderation staff, yours truly included, have been going through and deleting all of them, which is good because like a lot of them were basically putting up reviews like 10.0, WTF, GameSpot is so lame, they have a bug up their butt. I played the demo and it's so awesome.
The demo.
I'm like, really? The demo?
Really? The demo does not equal the full game at all.
God, seriously. And it's like, oh my god, the official Ratchet & Clank thread is up to 958 posts.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Get a life. Play the fucking game. Get a life.
Let me see.
Asshole.
I got a question.
Ask.
I have the GameSpot review thing open, and it says Editor's Choice 9.0, Critics Score 8.9, User Score 9.1.
For what?
Which one?
Ratchet and Clank.
You,
Ratchet
what and Clank are we talking one? About You are here. Looking at the wrong one.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank recently one? Came out for PlayStation 3.
No, PlayStation 2.
There you
then
go.
You're looking at the wrong one.
Looking at the wrong
one.
You're looking Which one? At the wrong one. You're wrong.
PS1?
This is Ratchet
and
Clank 3.
3?
3, oh. Right?
Yes. No, this one?
Yeah.
No, this one is called Ratchet and Clank Future Tools of Destruction.
Future. That's what it is. Future.
Okay, Ratchet and Clank Future. Okay.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Mitch2129, 7.1, 7.5, WTF. All I have to say is, WTF, they probably have a racing game fan rate this game. It wouldn't surprise me. And you missed the surprise. No, this is a
S-U-P-R-I-S-E?
Forum post. S-U-P-R, yeah.
And then surprise.
Narusuke101 says, OMG, a 7.5, I H8. I hate GameSpot now.
So why are you still posting on the forums?
Because he's a fucking tool.
I am a tool. I'm a douche.
Okay, and thankfully this guy is reasonable. 7.5 is still good, though based on the demo and all the other reviews, I'm pretty surprised. I'll reserve judgment until I play the whole game. But if the full game continues at the quality of the demo, and I expect it to match and exceed it, then it will be a very good game. Doesn't sit there and say GameSpot sucks. Doesn't sit there and say Aaron Thomas is a douchebag. Doesn't sit there and say, oh, blah, 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 you guys are stupid. I'm leaving and going to IGN. He says, okay, maybe I disagree with the score if I play it. That's it. That's how you post. But then, where is this? There are a lot of people actually just legitimately asking, didn't it get higher elsewhere? Like, that's kind of weird. But, okay, here we go. Emperor Supreme. Best graphics on any system. Arguably going to go down as the best platformer ever. GameSpot score 7.5. LOL, LOL, LOL. You guys lost all credibility for a review site right there. And then Rawhide Sphinx. Clearly, GameSpot reviewers have some stock options or some other alternative motives when reviewing PS3 games. Maybe Microsoft handed them a little green. I wouldn't be surprised. It is MS. If this game gets a 7.5, then Halo 3 should have got a 5.5. And yes, I have a 360 and Halo 3, and it is being used as a coaster as we speak. Peace. That's a fucking lie. You know that.
Mm-hmm. There's many people playing Halo 3 at any given moment.
That guy probably doesn't even have an Xbox.
He probably doesn't even have a PS3.
Or that, yeah. Let's see.
He probably can't even afford lunch tomorrow.
Game-face. The lowercase O underscore.
Game face.
Higher face score. Higher
face
low.
Score. Higher cap low.
Game hyphen the lowercase O underscore uppercase O. Like this.
Ew.
GS like, lowering the rating of PS3 games as usual. The game's 25% less enjoyable because it's been catered to younger people? The game is about weapons to begin with. It isn't Ratchet and Clank tools for telling a story to adults only. I think the review rating is ... that I can be more creative than the reviewers. No. Well, why don't you be more creative than reviewers and say something, Game OO. Edit. A lot of us are holding our tongues out of fear of being moderated. Does GameSpot even care about what the majority of its community thinks in reference to another? What is GameSpot's standards for PlayStation 3? Let me... Oh, fucking God, let me tell you something. Reviews are out there to tell you what the site thinks of the game, not to satisfy your masturbatory desires. Sorry, if you don't like the review, yes, go elsewhere. If you don't like the review, then you're using reviews for the wrong purpose in the first place. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, but I want to get to one or two more really stupid posts by stupid users. One second.
Austin lives to flame people.
I do? These guys live to flame people.
He loves to flame flamers.
Oh, Aaron Thomas, haha, another GS editor on the blacklist. Christ.
Oh, boy.
These are probably these are the same people who are saying, oh, yeah, like, Ninja Gaiden 9.0, that means it's awesome. It's better than on Xbox. Stupid. God. Here comes JonCon88, J-O-N-C-O-N, 88. I'm so mad. I see now why they are biased, though. CNET owns GameSpot, and Microsoft owns CNET. And don't get on to me about conspiracy stuff. it's already been proven that M$ sign pays people off for crap.
You know, talking to Dave Navarro.
Alex.
When he. Alex
Dave Navarro used to play for Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
He also banged he was, Carmen Electra.
Yes, Carmen Electra. Yes, that's what I was getting
now
at. I made a joke about that
for
once.
Jane's Addiction.
That's very Stop! Good.
He does not write for GameSpot.
Stop it! Stop! All right, so getting back to what he said, remember when we asked him if he was ever pressured to change a review because of outside influences, and he said that never came to him. I think he was sincere in saying that, so I think everybody should take that as food for thought. Just because somebody indirectly owns a company does not necessarily mean that they're going to pressure you to put out a bad review.
Yeah, that
know, just
and
for...
does Microsoft really own CNET? I don't think so.
No.
Well, even if they did, even if they did.
Yeah, even if they did.
I mean, yeah, even if they did. I doubt very much that they're going to be like, oh shit, we got to save face here. So we want you to totally tank a game. A game. Just a game.
Yeah, especially since, you know, Microsoft just made like 300 something billion,
yeah,
trillion,
exactly,
quadrillion dollars off of Halo in a week.
I got yeah, some. I also got another comparison point. Jeff Gerstmann gave Ridge Racer 7 an 8, okay? That's a great score. Ridge Racer 7, okay, I own it. I love it, but it is no different than any other fucking Ridge Racer on the planet. He gives it an 8. Now everybody's going to be talking about anti PS3 bias?
All right.
What the fuck? Okay, here's Bakakim. B-A-K-A-K-I-M.
Baka means idiot. Just let you know that.
Yeah, it does. Idiot Kim. Well, it's been a while that I posted something on GameSpot, but seeing this review from this site for RNC just showed that GameSpot is anti-PS3. They will do anything in their power to disrupt the PS3 momentum. What momentum? In all shape or form. But knowing that the majority of reviews have an average of 90% just showed this game is a true killer app. GameSpot is just a minority. This just brings back memory. Remember the Resistance review? Majority rated it as a killer app, and again, GameSpot gives it a low score compared to majority of site. This is how I see GameSpot as a site. When it comes to user-friendly layout, it is great. That's how he laid out his commas. Layout is great, but as for a site for reviews, it's pretty dismal. It's simple, if the game's FPS is on X360, you can always rely on great to excellent reviews. What? Okay. Here's another thing. Resistance Fallen Man probably got perfect scores from PlayStation magazines. Resistance Fallen Man got an 8.6 from GameSpot and an 8.5 on 1UP.com. Those are the two biggest sites out there. Okay, you want to talk about the site that has a huge influence? 1UP arguably has more of an influence, possibly. Okay, and they also get, oh no, but it's a pin. Shut the fuck up. let's see.
Also, it's a game. This is my point. It's not like they were like, okay, this game is a failing because the system is a failing. You know what I'm saying? Like, the game could have been so much better if it was done on another system. Clearly, the system could not produce the graphics cleanly. It couldn't keep up with the action, you know, and that's why this game gets a 7.5. That wasn't the case at all, was it?
In this review?
Yeah.
I didn't read it entirely, but his beef with it was that... first of all, it was too easy for his tastes, so it was easy to blow through.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with the system so far. Go on.
It was also that, it sounds like he kind of wanted it to be that old Ratchet and Clank platform, but instead they threw in a lot of different types of gameplay in the mix to kind of disrupt the flow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he didn't like about it. Nothing to do with the system.
Again, nothing to do with the system.
Right. He also mentioned that the story, while it had some good humor, as is the tradition in Ratchet and Clank, this time around, a lot of it was cheesy, and he didn't enjoy that.
Again.
So 3 points, nothing to do with the PlayStation.
Exactly. Okay, now, if they had gone over here, I would have been more suspicious if he was like, Ratchet and Clank might have been a better game on a different system. This system clearly failed the gameplay of traditional Ratchet and Clank.
Well, even then, that's a legitimate and a fair argument for someone to say, like...
No, I understand,
flesh out this example, because it's actually a very good example of what you were just saying. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground came out on all consoles. It got a decent score, not great, but a decent score on 360 and PS3, but on the PS2 and the Wii, the review summary right up front says, it is clear that the priority was not placed on this version of the game. Which is basically saying, you know, yeah, the Wii's version is a shit one. You know? And, you know, it's true. Like, there's some games that really shouldn't be put on certain systems. Let's say, for example, if you tried to put Gears of War on the PlayStation, the one, PlayStation 1, for example, just hypothetically, you know, for a reviewer to say...
Gears of Slow.
Gears of Whore.
But like Gears of War.
More like Tears of War. PS Triple. But it's like, obviously, it was a bad choice because... It's a simple fact that the hardware couldn't handle it, and it looks like shit. So even if they go far and do that, of course, like, no, the form is going to explode.
But that's a different comparison.
Yeah.
That's a different comparison in entirely. This, where I'm talking about a system that's supposed to be the most powerful.
Oh, my God.
And, and he says that it's a failing, and it's the system's fault. That I would be more suspicious of. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ravine 1. So, you guys, Ravine 1 says,
I'm almost thinking of never coming back to this site again. If they rate Killzone 2, Haze, or Metal Gear Solid 4 below an 8.5, I will never come to the site again. If all the games
are
on
all... But you just said you never come back, you dumb bastard.
If all the games were on all the consoles, then the world would be boring.
What? Dude, shut the fuck up. If all the games were on all the consoles, then everybody would be able to play all the great games without having to spend more money on buying different systems. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's an argument for one console future, which I don't believe will happen, but I think could be beneficial. But that's the argument we already went through. I'm not talking about that anymore. This just strikes me. If they rate Killzone 2, Haze, or Metal Gear Solid 4 below an 8.5, I will never come to the site again. Have you played any of those games? Do you know anything about what it feels like to play those games? Do you know anything about those games besides what you've seen in demos?
Do you know anything?
Yes,
do you know? Not even that. Here's the big, big question. What does their opinion have anything to do with
yours?
You?
Right.
Right.
If you are reading a review for, like, for the purpose of what it is to, what the purpose of reading a review is, then you have no opinion on the game, and you are looking for one. You are looking for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
If you are reading the review so that you can say, ha, the game that I like got a good score, then you are reading the review for the wrong reason. Because using a review for fanboy bait is exactly what they're doing. They're saying, like, oh, this game is going to be so awesome, it's going to get a great score. And the normal, not the, I shouldn't say the normal, because normal people are complete idiots, but the sensible reaction is, oh, it got a lower score than I expected. That is disappointing. Now I don't know if I want to play this anymore. Not, oh, that is disappointing. This site is biased. I hate it.
Yeah. Let's do a converse.
Because, like,
do
what are you really doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I do a converse argument here? If I had happened to play a game, and then I went on the site just out of curiosity to see what it could be. I finished the game, played it in its entirety, absolutely loved it, went on the site, and it got like a 7.5 or even a 5. Okay? Then I could honestly say that I don't know what fucking version of this game this guy was playing, but I totally don't agree. Then again, I'm not going to be like, oh, fuck this site, motherfucker!
Yeah,
they hired one big dumbass, I'm never coming back to
this
site again.
The other thing is that it's not even what version of the thing, it's also that different people have different tastes.
Right.
I know exactly. GameSpot's reviews criteria says reviews are not an opinion.
Right.
That's subject to whatever interpretation you want to throw out at me personally. Like, there is no way, I'm sorry, there is no way that a review is going to agree with everyone else.
Right.
I mean, it's like, if I finish the game and I disagree with it, yes, we will have discourse. We will have intelligent discussion about, well, what did you think about this part? Oh, I didn't like it because of this. Well, I actually did like it because of this. I actually like this part because of that. Well, actually, no, I actually disagree. I liked it because of that. You talk about it, and you find out what people like and what they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go and you fucking say, you're wrong, I'm right, you're a biased fanboy, you're getting paid off. If you want to see people who get paid off by companies, go read a review from Stuff or Maxim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous that... I'll say it again. What? A review has a very specific purpose. People use it for different things, but at the end of the day, the purpose of a review is simply to inform whether or not they think you should buy this game.
Yep, and I've used it for that purpose.
Yeah,
I have not bought many games for that, for reasons where it's like, I basically like look at a review of a game that I'm not sure of, and I go straight to the end, because at the end they talk about all the bad parts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if those bad parts are too much for me to handle, I'm not buying the game.
Right.
Or if you listen to a review and it's just all bad parts.
Right, yeah. Like, if there's a game that I know I want, I'll go to see what other people think of it. And then, like, maybe sometimes I'll be like, oh, that kind of sucks, you know? Like, I don't know if he was fair to this part, but that was his opinion. Whatever. Moving on.
Yeah. Trust me, I think everybody's right about Gundam.
Huh?
Mobile Suit Gundam for the PlayStation 3. I think everybody's right on that. I didn't hear no fucking flack. I think they nailed it right on. And just by seeing how the game performs, I would definitely agree. But, you know, again, subjective.
Right.
Okay? That doesn't mean that I wouldn't say, you know, okay, let me give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to rent Mobile Suit Gundam just to see if everybody might have been wrong.
Right.
You know, or just like, you know, not nowhere near the ballpark. And I'm pretty sure they would be right around the ballpark. So maybe he's around the ballpark. Did you ever figure it like that? Maybe he's, you know, he's around an area where he's not comfortable giving it an 8. That 7.5 for him, in his experience with the game, is just right around the ballpark. Which means that it's a subjective ballpark.
Right.
It's a ballpark
right.
that could go anywhere from another point. So, you know... Come on, people. Here's just fucking...
Here's another fucked up thing. It's like, people are like, oh, this review is getting a low score, so it's going to sell poorly.
No.
Okay. First of all, the same people who are saying GameSpot gave it a poor review, it's going to sell poorly, I hate GameSpot because they're going to make this good game do bad. Didn't you just get through saying, oh, IGN gave it a 9, PlayStation Magazine gave it a 9.5, GamePro gave it a 5, all these other sites gave it 9, 9, AAA, 9, 5 out of 5, 10 hundreds, blah, 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 blah. What are you worried about one site?
Exactly.
The other
it's
thing,
their favorite.
The other thing is, well, let me think here for a second. Red Steel sold, I don't know, over a million copies. GameSpot gave
10.
It, I don't know, a 5.5?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. There's a really strong correlation between the review score and the sales numbers right there. Good job. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Play again.
Not only that. I'm curious to know, what did they give Psychonauts?
8.5? A good score?
And
did
was
it
that
sell?
A general score from
nope.
IGN? Exactly. My point, exactly. So conversely, if you're saying that good reviews up the sales, then you're wrong.
Yeah, and here's
absolutely fucking wrong.
Yeah, and here's one more thing that I'd like to say. If a low review score is preventing a game from being sold, maybe mm-hmm. that's the review doing its job.
Exactly,
because
like Catwoman.
Maybe it doesn't deserve to sell.
Yep, Catwoman. Oh man, I love bashing that game.
I've said as much as I could stomach. One more thing about just. I was playing, like I said, I'm playing Lunar Pool. Mm-hmm. I'm paying close attention to it now because I plan to review it. And Al IM'd me on Gmail chat and asked mm-hmm. me, oh, so is it worth the 500 points? I said, very possibly, yeah. I will, mm-hmm. you know, I'll have to dig more through it. As I write this review, it'll become clear whether or not it's worth it. That is what a review is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It is not there to satisfy your means of, like, oh, this is going to be a AAA title, and the PS3 is finally going to rise from the ashes and step on doo-doo Microsoft and doo-doo Tendo. No! It's not there to serve your pleasures. It is there to inform you. So shut the fuck up and go back to sleep.
Doo-doo soft and Nintendo-doo.
Anyone else have any more raves and rants about this?
I'm
exhausted.
That was good.
You guys are idiots. Stop freaking worrying about one little score. And
yeah.
Aaron Thomas makes better videos than you do, so shut up.
Wait, did Aaron Thomas do
Aaron Thomas
the
was
Phoenix
the
Wright?
He did the Phoenix Wright, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
So, let's see. Ethan has just emailed us and said, I missed this, sorry for the 50th time. Ethan must send out the shirt to Riven. Now! No.
Poor Riven!
Oh, shit. That's funny.
I'm emailing him. Just give me a second.
Yeah. He also talked about a video game weekend, so I just text him back.
Yeah.
Oh, video game weekend will lead way to more Live with Try Games.
Yeah.
More volleyball.
Yeah, also, this time I'm bringing my Xbox 360. He wants you to bring the PlayStation 3 if it's any at all possible.
Fuck him. He can come over here.
Oh, that's a possibility.
That thing is so heavy. If he's going to drive here and drive me that thing is heavy and it will get stolen.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that that Austin bring it, on a train.
The PlayStation 3 is heavy?
Oh, hell yeah. You know how heavy the 360 is? PS3 is maybe, 1.5 times heavier.
Damn. Jesus! What
that's
the hell?
It's a panini grill.
They put
you
a rock
put the
in
PS3
there.
On a toilet.
Yeah.
Doink.
Let the water splash up the asshole.
Yeah, let's move on. I actually do have something to do, so let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's clear up.
We are at the mailbag, and I skipped a message last week by accident from Riven, so here he is. He's back in the world. OMGS, hi! Question. After having coming off an enjoyably childish romp through the demo of Thrillville, Off the Rails, for the Xbox 360, I wanted to ask what, quote, kiddie, end quote, game are you not ashamed to admit that you enjoy? My recommendation for Tony and Al fall into this category, as I highly recommend Viva Pinata, one of my favorite 360 games. Also, Al may not say Pokemon. That is all.
Late!
Damn real. Al, you go first.
You go first.
Oh, so then I gotta go first now?
Tony, you go first.
I can't say Pokemon, and I can't go first.
Tony, you go first.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Tony, go first.
God damn it. I don't know.
All right. Austin, go first.
I can't think of one. You go first.
Well, what does he qualify a kiddie game?
A game that has
geared
colorful graphics. And stuff.
Well, because he said he started off with Thrillville, and isn't that
Oh, no, that's a roller coaster game.
No.
Yeah, I know. I know what it is. But it's not, really a kiddie game, is it?
It's a family game.
So you would consider that a kiddie?
Yep.
Yeah,
if
they consider
friendly
it family.
If it's family-friendly and all tame and everything, that's kind of kiddie.
So can I say Roller Coaster Tycoon?
It's not necessarily as family-friendly because of the fact that it's probably more strategically inclined. It sounds like the 360 version of Thrillville is a totally hey, have fun, don't have to think, just do stupid things, you know?
Oh, man.
Or something that Ethan, for example, would normally be embarrassed at playing.
Oh,
Like a Viva Pinata. Or like Advance Wars, because apparently Japanese animated characters are very, very, very strange for his nose.
Oh, I should be ashamed for playing anything Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, there you go. Dragon Ball Z.
And I don't.
Oh, you don't? I thought you did.
No, I have one game from it. Okay. It sucks so bad I didn't buy any others.
Al, what would you say?
I would have to say that I'm not ashamed of playing... rhythm games, I just looked at this and I said, yeah, this is definitely it. I got Donkey Konga over here.
Okay.
And Donkey Konga has you playing stuff like the Pokemon theme song, and Had a Little Lamb, or a whole bunch of kids. You know the Row, Row, Row Your Belt thing where they have people singing on top of each other and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you do something like that. It was a medley of kids' songs, and I enjoy the hell out of that shit. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I'd be fucking hitting that drum, clapping, talking about, London Bridge is falling down. Fuck you, motherfucker. That's right. London Bridge is coming the fuck down. Clap, clap, pone, pone, clap.
Pone, pone, clap.
So,
I would say I liked anticipation at one time.
Oh, I liked anticipation too. But I was 10, so I was a kid. man.
This may seem like a cop-out answer, but Wii Sports.
Wii Sprots.
Wii Sports. That's a freaking kiddie game. And if any, look at the... You use freaking Miis.
Yeah.
The when you bat in baseball, you don't have feet. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The outfielders don't have feet. But, it's all about the freaking gameplay, you know? It's solid, you know? I mean, I don't... Well, let me delve deeper. Let me find something else that really... Nintendogs.
Nintendogs.
That's... I don't play it anymore, actually. I got bored of it. But when I was playing it, I fully was like, yo... I got this fucking boxer. His name is Homer, and he sits when I tell him to. It's fucking awesome. Take a look at it. Mm-hmm. You know.
What about Tamagotchi?
Huh?
Tamagotchi.
Never used one.
I didn't play when
Would you
I
consider
was older.
That Would you consider that a game?
I consider it
it's
a fad.
It's a game.
It's not a video game, but yeah.
Video
Tamagotchi.
Game.
You it's can't as much a game as Nintendo's is a game.
Got you video game. We got this great email from some strange lady.
Mm-hmm.
The email address is EVE. I wonder who that is. I love your show, guys. It's so funny. You talk about Hellgate London next time. I'm psyched about it. P.S. Al has such a sexy voice. Bye, guys. Who was that, Al?
I don't know. I wonder if it's somebody who is in my house with the same three initials as the email address.
Could it be Evelyn?
It could be.
Okay, appease her and talk about Hellgate London, since she's probably right there and can hear what you're saying right now.
Yes, and she's been waiting this entire podcast for this one point.
For Hellgate London?
I could have sworn I talked about Hellgate London last week, because that was a part of what am I playing, I think.
It was.
Yes, good. So, refer to podcast 60 Sinoys out.
That's mean.
I know. Hellgate London comes out on Wednesday.
And oh, shit, that's soon.
Yeah.
That's on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's 3 days away, that's 4 days away.
That's like Halloween, isn't it?
It is Halloween. It comes out on Halloween.
St. Day's Manhunt.
Yep, and two games I'm not going to be getting because I need to actually have a budget for the rest of the year.
Oh, why deprive yourself of something you can enjoy?
Because I have to provide other people with things this holiday season.
Yeah.
Certain couple of other
That
people.
Comment hurt my brain.
So Hellgate London sounds like it's really cool. My friend at work actually got into the beta the day after I told him about the demo. And he was talking about the different classes and stuff. He said that the Templar faction, where you can choose the Evoker, who's like a sorcerer, and the Summoner, who's like the Necromancer, except you can summon other things. Those are really fun classes to play. Like, he was playing as a Summoner. He has imps, and you can improve the power of the imps. Just like, you know how in Diablo 2 you have the Skeleton Tree, and you can make your skeletons really strong.
And the Golems and stuff.
And you have the Golems, stuff like that. And he was just talking about how the game is you go in, you start at a hub, and you can make a party and stuff like that. You go into one of the portals that go out into the world, and you just beat the fuck out of everything in existence, and it gets really overwhelming at times, which is really fun.
Let me ask this. Given that it is coming from Bill Roper, who was the guy behind Diablo, what's the feeling like? Is it similar?
It really feels similar, from the demo that I played.
And when I say not gameplay-wise, because we know I have problems with the click-click-click, but I mean in terms of, the design and the setting and how you progress and stuff.
Yeah, the design and, the setting is, of course, it's in London after some kind of apocalyptic event where demons start coming
out. It was called Hellgate London, not for no reason.
Right. And the structure of the game is to a point where, the interface is almost identical. You have a left button and a right button. They both could be tasked to do different things. You have a skill bar, kind of like an MMO. They have context-sensitive things, which is a really good enhancement. So if you're running and you press shift, you sprint. But if you're standing still, the shift button might actually be a usable skill. Like the hunters, the marksmen, they have grenades. You throw a grenade. You can either click the button for it, or you can just hit shift while you're standing still, and you'll throw the grenade. Or if you have a stronger move, that'll be on the context-sensitive shift button. You have your health, which is in a red bulb on the left, and you have your whatever they call the magic power as a blue bulb on the right. And you have skill trees, right, and you have the skill trees just like in Diablo. You can go down three paths and things like that. When you're out in the world and you're fighting, you just basically click on the enemy that you want to fight. You don't click on the enemy you want to fight. You just click. And when you click, you do your animation for your attack. Or if you're an FPS character, you aim at the character you want to fire at, and you hold the button to shoot rapid fire, or you just click to do a precision shot, things like that.
So does it feel... So I'm assuming it feels more like a...
It feels like an MMO.
It doesn't feel like a shooter.
It feels like a shooter if you're playing with a marksman
character.
But
is it as refined in terms of the physics and everything like that?
No, it's still based and rooted in like statistics, but it's weird
though.
Right. Because of the fact that like if you walk around and you just walk and your aiming reticle will increase. And as you shoot, you will be off center. Like I shot a zombie and as you shoot, your reticle expands and you could see the shots change from directly on the head to like in the background because you're not shooting at the zombie anymore.
I see. Interesting.
And so that's all based on statistics though, because I'm like looking at the skills and they say, okay, your primary skill, well, your first skill that you get when you start the game is a hunter stance where you kneel down and you have improved accuracy, but you can't move.
Interesting. Okay.
Your reticle will become so small that your first shot is going to be on the mark.
Tiny penis!
And daddy two peepees.
Daddy two peepees!
As you shoot, it does expand, but it expands at a slower rate. And as you improve that skill, your accuracy when shooting improves such that the reticle doesn't expand as much. So it kind of takes real world things and translates it into statistic based gameplay.
X.
Yeah,
That's the hugest comparison that I have to, because the shooting engine in Deus Ex is really not that good at all. Mm. But the rest of the game, for me, like, in fact, the entire physics presentation of that game is complete garbage. But everything else about the game is, like, I love it, so I put up with it. But yeah, it's, like, the same thing. Like, you have mods that you can increase your accuracy, and your crosshair doesn't really show the results, but behind the scenes, you just hit more.
Right.
I think. I don't know. So, like, in this one, it does sound like the crosshair actually shows.
Oh, yeah. The crosshair actually shows, and it actually moves around when you shoot. It expands.
No, but I mean, it shows when you make improvements to it, it gets smaller.
It should. Yeah. I don't know about that, because I only played it for about 20 minutes. Okay. So I don't know if improvements to your accuracy improve the reticle, but it should.
He said testicle.
I'm trying to think of anything else. Like, the only other thing I can think of is like the Blades Master, and the Blades Master is like
master
your standard
blades.
Hack and slash.
Master
My friend
Fate.
Said that there's a Guardian. That's the other hack and slash class. It's supposed to be like a Paladin. Like all the stuff from Paladin, all the auras and stuff like that. They seem to just like always come back in these games. Mm-hmm. They had it in World of Warcraft, where all the stuff from the Paladin from Diablo 2 seems to have made it into, in one shape or form, one way, shape, or form.
Did you know that paladins existed before WoW?
Yeah, and then
did you not know?
What?
I don't know.
Okay, so I think I probably will like play a Guardian class or something like that in the beginning, because I'm just like that kind of support dude.
Okay.
Level 49 red mage in the house.
Tony, anything about this game? Have you been following it at all?
No, not at all.
You should, as a fan of Diablo, you should probably take a look at it. It's supposed to be very similar, but it's just in different perspective.
Sure, when I get my online on.
Oh, that's right. Your PC is a caca dookie.
Not well. Wait a minute. Is this
This is
not
PC.
For? This is PC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, PC. No, can't.
When are you gonna get that thing
Sorry.
Fixed?
When am I gonna get the thing fixed? What do I have to do with it?
You have to instigate someone to fix it.
I already did. He's been busy.
Well, he's got the next few weekends.
He does. But we're going to use that for games. So it might never get done.
Ugh.
Well, bring the computer over or something.
And he can break it like he broke his other one.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah, let's move on to the next question. This is from Free Boner. My friend wants to make a podcast.
Meow.
Meow.
Podcast. My friend wants to make a podcast, is what he meant to say. Enough said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since you guys are very successful, thank you. I don't think we are,
wow.
But...
shit. Yeah.
We have a listenership of maybe 100 at most. I thought I would ask you what goes into making a podcast.
Lots of love
drugs,
and sperm.
Sugar and spice.
Drugs and breasts.
And lack of pussy.
Lack of cat.
On...
lack of podcat.
Yeah, no podcats.
No,
but we do have real cats.
Seriously, what I would say, what it takes is, it depends on what he wants to do. Is he going to have his own little vanity talk show where he's the only one talking? Then, you know, that makes it vastly easier. But if you actually want to make something that has some, you know, some interaction with at least two people, first thing he needs is someone who's dedicated enough to be there every week. Or every so often, or every time he makes a podcast. If he doesn't have that one person, at least have a group of people who can at any which point in time when he records a podcast, he needs to have someone who will be there with him. He needs to have a reliable group of people. Like Ethan, Tony, Al, myself, like we are almost always like ready to go on Sunday. And if we're not, we still have the rest of the crew, and that's fine. Al and I have done it alone. I've done episodes alone with Ethan and Tony. Tony and Ethan has done one without me or Al. So as long as someone is there to actually pick it up and keep the thing going, it's okay if you miss a couple of weeks, but the real thing there is the momentum. Because you miss a couple of weeks, you kind of feel like, this is kind of not going so well, whatever. That's kind of what happened with the Gamers Lounge podcast up on GameSpot. A lot of people were busy, and by the time they got their second episode out, it was kind of like it felt like it was faltering a little bit, because not the episode quality, but the prospect of having it go on, just because like half of the cast was different and they were doing different things, and the guy who was arranging it the next week wasn't around, unfortunately, and that was just unfortunate. You got to keep the momentum going. You miss a week here or there, you can't make it a habit though. You need to have good, decent recording equipment. And you don't have to have professional shit. I think pretty much all of us are running on this Harman Kardon thing, right? Or Altec Lansing thing.
Harman Kardon?
Altec Lansing
headphone thing.
Yeah. Tony just got it.
Yeah, it's a $30 headset, you know, it's
$40,
around,
I think. If you get a deal, it's like $30. I got it for $32.
$30, $40. The mic boom is sort of noise canceling, the sound quality comes out decently. Listen to episode like 25 or like 29 or something like that, and then listen to this one. Listen to the last 10. You can see the difference of sound quality is very important, because if you listen to any podcast from the Imagine group, which is Official Xbox Magazine, PC Gamer, Maximum PC, they all sound like shit. Because they do the Skype. And here's another thing, you need the right software. And you need people who are savvy enough with their computer to record their own sound files and know how to send it to you. I can't stress that enough, because, like I was talking about the Imagine thing, like they record strictly off of Skype.
Mm.
And they use... I'm sure they use something called Hot Recorder, which is what we used to use, which is why our things used to sound like shit. And our backup recording is using Total Recorder, which is better, but it still sounds like shit when you compare it to like everyone's individual files. So you need to have that. You need to have everybody record their voice. You have to have them send it to you, and then you have to have the willpower to sit through and edit that thing and sync it up, because invariably there will be some mishaps with the syncing up. Someone's going to come in before someone else does. Someone's sound file is going to end up being longer than another one. You have to like know how to stretch it. And for that, you'll need something called Audacity, or what Tony used, which was Cool Edit, right?
Cool Edit and SoundForge.
Oh, Cool Edit and SoundForge.
Oh, wait, not SoundForge. Acid Pro.
Okay, Acid Pro, Cool Edit, Audacity, any one of those things that will let you manipulate sound files, your friend will have to learn them. We'll have to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because internet lag will cause trouble sometimes for syncing up, even if you use like Hot Recorder to record directly off of Skype. Unless you do what I do for my backup and have a laptop sitting by,
mm-hmm.
have that laptop come in as the fifth person and is basically a ghost, set up the recording the correct way, which takes a lot of patience and experimentation, and record. Cause so that it, you know, records without any lag and it doesn't have any of the miscued syncs. But it's not easy. I mean, everybody likes to think that they can just sit there in a recording booth and just go away, go at it. Maybe they can if they're lucky with the lag, or if they have, like, if you guys and me ever got together and did it, it'd be so much simpler. We just don't have the time for that. We don't have the ability.
Mm-hmm.
So if your friend and his friends can get together on a weekly basis in a basement or something and have good recording equipment, his job becomes phenomenally easier.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like a real radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You also need to have... It's my personal thing. Like, if podcasting can be about anything, and you can be as stupid as you want. But personally, you guys have to know what you're talking about. You can't just kind of go up and say, yeah, I played the Ratchet demo, and that it was really cool, and I had a lot of fun with it, and it was good, and now I think I'm going to buy the game. And, man, you saw GameSpot, like, rated it low, man. That's kind of what... Yeah, man, that's... Yeah, so moving on, what else did you play? I played Halo 3, and that game is cool. Yeah, it's good, man. Remember that time where I, like, shot you in the head? Yeah, that was
Why
cool.
Why do they sound like they're from Arkansas?
Moving on. Arkansas. I don't know if you get that. But yeah, but so, I mean, you got to
remember that time I shot you in the head?
Remember that time I shot you in the face and then I raped my cat?
Oh,
yeah,
my God, is that a real Prada bag?
So, like, yeah, it's you have something to talk about. Like, know what you're talking about. And something that was advised to me that I don't necessarily think you really need as long as you have your own way of as long as you have different insight. Come at it with an angle. And by that, I don't mean like a gimmick, but like have some personality there. Identify yourselves from the other podcasts out there. The reason why I say I don't necessarily think that this is such a huge thing is because I honestly don't think that we are that hugely different from a lot of, you know, independent podcasts out there. We have segments, we talk about the news, we talk about what we've been playing, we think we have a pretty good grasp on the industry for people who aren't in the industry yet, and we discuss things in an intelligent manner, we try to. Game Slaves Radio does the same thing. Riven and Leiden, they, you know, they have some, and now they have a third person on there, Kristen. They have, you know, good insights, and they talk about the, basically, I'm not saying that you should listen to one or the other, because as different people, we obviously have innately different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll get the same information. You'll get it presented in a different way, which is why I think that, you know, you should still listen to us both. But, like, they tend towards the more PC shooter-centric side. So maybe, yeah, you will get some information. But if you don't have, like, a specific angle, like, oh, we have this special segment called, like, Shoot the Elephant or something retarded like that. And I don't worry about it. You know, just do it. Be yourself. And ask for feedback. Make sure that you have people who will listen and ask for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing.
And welcome it.
And welcome it. Like, if they, you know, the worst thing is to have a podcast where no one gives you feedback. Then you don't know what the hell you're doing wrong or right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So anything that you guys can contribute, like, that you've experienced over the course of this podcast that you could, you know, donate to this soul who wants to make a podcast.
Huh?
You were cueing us. We just fell in love with the sound of your voice over there.
That is very disturbing. You are not real female, so I don't want that to happen. But yes, what
very
is,
good. Well, you weren't talking so long, goddammit.
Your face was shit, goddammit. I was talking
anyway,
while you guys aren't saying anything. Go ahead.
What?
Oh my God! Jesus. Is that a real product?
Oh my
product?
God! Is that a real product? Go ahead, Tony. Sounds like you have something to say.
Also, you got to be comfortable. You got to be comfortable working with guys who know completely more than you do in one aspect or another. Like when it comes to marketing and stuff
marketing.
Like that, I would say Ethan's like the fucking man, okay? But when it comes to, like, the video game business end and everything else like that, it's definitely Austin and Al, okay? When it comes to just being a video game player who's done it for, like, 27, 28 years, okay, and has experience with games and knows what he likes about games and what he does not like about games, that's definitely me. And we're comfortable in that dynamic.
Yeah.
And none of us, like, really clash heads because of it. Like, I'd never go to Austin and be like, well, I understand you have the business end of, you know, of this, but I think you're completely wrong about this game. I think this game sucked, you know. I think that, you know, nothing like that, okay? Nothing like that. Like, for instance, I could say a million things about why Final Fantasy X sucked, and a lot of people will disagree with me, okay? I believe, Austin, you disagreed with me
on that.
I
disagree,
as well,
but
right?
I think that they're valid. I think basically, like, just because my basic thing is this, and this is actually a very important thing for the podcast as well. You have to understand the people who are on your podcast. Inevitably, there will be discussions that turn into debates, that turn into arguments. You have to understand that disagreement does not indicate correctness. Sometimes it does,
right.
But that's only like a side effect. Like, if I think that someone else is incorrect, I will disagree with them. But at the same time, if I had a different feeling about something, I will still disagree with them. That doesn't mean that I think they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But so, that's the thing. Yeah. We won't come to blows about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And when we do, it's fucking funny.
So, yeah, you gotta be comfortable with people that may have an aspect of knowledge that you don't.
Yeah.
And you gotta be humble about that. You know, you can't have a big head about that. Especially if you're like with somebody that thinks they know everything and acts like an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Okay, you definitely don't want that.
In that case then maybe you don't want him on the cast unless you think it makes it entertaining and you can handle that.
Right.
Then by all means.
Right. But, you know, I don't think we have... That's the one thing that I think we don't have here. There's been quite a few disagreements and stuff like that.
Absolutely, and that's actually necessary.
You know, but nothing... Yeah, nothing where it comes to, like, you know, I call somebody up and I'm like, you know,
fuck you, man.
My dick is bigger, you know? It's not
we know that is an impossibility, given Alfred.
I'm half black.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You're black.
The half that counts.
Yeah, you sound black.
You sound
black. I'm black in the pants.
Where are you from?
But,
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think when I said you need to know what you're talking about, don't take that to be an intimidating aspect of you need to have a fucking marketing degree. I think, as Tony just said, you just have to know your space and know how to back up what you say. So even if you don't know shit about marketing and business, you know, bring your own angle to the discussion and know what you're going to say about it. When I say you need to know what you need to know what you're talking about, doesn't mean that you have to be an expert. So, I mean, don't take that out of context. Alfred!
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, have fun.
Yes.
But, you know, you have to have fun with what you do. If it's a chore and it's like, oh, man, I got to wake up and do this podcast. And don't do it because it has to be something that you enjoy so that you can do it for the amount of time that is allotted for it and enjoy yourself and come off it saying, yeah, I can't wait to share this with other people.
Enjoy yourself, bitch.
I think the key word with that is you can't take it as an obligation.
Yeah.
It can't be
yes.
work. It cannot be work. It can't. It's just like when you have a band, okay? If you feel it's an obligation that you have to show up for a gig or show up for practice, you can't be in a band. You just can't.
And it's going to be tough to balance that, too, because sometimes you're going to feel maybe that, like, because it's on a schedule that it's kind of like work, or because you have to prepare for it, it's kind of like work. And, like, if it ever gets to that point where I think the reason why it's okay for us, because, like, you know, I do kind of try to keep the schedule and we try to, like, have everything organized. I think the reason why we're still even tolerating it is just because, like, excuse me, whew, belch, at least in my case. The fucking hours that go into editing this and then, like, getting and arranging everybody and then syncing it up and all that shit and then, like, coming up with topics with Al and everyone else and, like, the mailbag and all that shit. It is fucking annoying as hell to, like, spend time on this. But at the end of the day, I have so much fun listening to the finished product that it's okay. If I didn't think that we put out something fun, then or I didn't think that, like, you know, we all were having fun discussing this, then why do it? I mean, I think the thing is that, like, the reason why we enjoy it is because literally we're not doing this for show. Like, we are not saying... Okay, we're going to talk about this. What are you going to say? And then I'll have a counter argument. No, we're literally just sitting here talking about it. We're just talking about this shit, you know? We're just doing it on the air. On the air, whatever you want to call it.
On the fly. Yeah.
We're just doing it, but we're just recording it, you know? It's not like we're sitting there and changing up. Like, this is something that we would normally do if we got together on game night and we were playing Forza. And then we started talking like, hey, this doesn't feel quite right. Well, what's your problem with it? And we start discussing the game. It's the same thing, you know?
It's like it's loosely scripted, too.
Yeah, it's
about
its...
About as far as the script goes is the news content.
Yeah.
But everything else that transpires afterwards is totally just winging it.
Yeah,
okay? It's just us, like, either knocking them or, you know, just, like, supporting whatever we're talking about or whatever the news topic is. And then giving our 2 cents in.
I consider it more like an agenda, not really a script. If that would give you guys a better indication of what
kind
we,
of well,
how
only,
we
the only reason why I consider it like script is because I think of it like a knowledgeable format of the 40-year-old virgin, where they had a loose script, and everybody was improv.
So it's kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm, where there's absolutely no script.
Exactly. There's just like instances where, you know, you're here, you feel this way, go with it. That's it. You know, so
I kind of
feel it's that way because we do have an agenda, we do have a time allotment and stuff like that. But everything that transpires, especially when you have to go to work.
Yeah, well, that won't happen anymore, probably, because I got my shift switch.
Sweet!
Yeah.
So, shut up, Austin! So, whatchamacallit? I think...
I hope that answered your question. You can have your friend listen to this.
Yes.
And see. Hopefully he finds it useful. We are returning, before we leave, we are returning one feature that has been long since gone.
The Spam Report.
So let me log into
this. I just woke my cats up.
Great.
They're like giving me dirty looks. Aren't you? Eyes closed, eyes closed.
Why are you black?
His eyes are half closed.
Did you just ask the cat if he was black?
No, that's the cat asking Al that.
Okay, we have five spams. The first one is from Melinda Lucas, and the subject is Chelsea's Jumbo Phallus. If I recall correctly, Chelsea is a girl's name.
Sure is.
What?
But Chelsea is also the name of an area where there are a lot of homosexuals in New York.
The email contains nothing but this text. Conspicuous penis for Edgar. And a link. Moving on.
Nice. Way to jack your belongings.
The next email is from Oliver Sears. Our price, $79.95. Save US $369 on Adobe 8 Pro. And it's a poem, which I will not read. Because it's not funny. Moving on. Actually, no. Let me sing this in... What's the dude King Dakar's name from what's that band?
King Diamond from Mercyful Fate.
Against the sky, no longer of our world. Covering the land, Columbus's and Gamma's ever passed. But, okay, this is really stupid. I'm moving on. This is the stupidest poem ever.
That had to have been like King Diamond, like when he first started the band. That could have been passing for King Diamond in the beginning.
I thought you were doing that episode where Master Shake tried to create the new birthday song.
Oh, yeah. I've been telling Al about that one. Cruz Tapia says, to mailbag, and it's an ad for Viagra and Cialis. Okay, moving on. Here's a good one from Allison Lucas. The subject is his queen-sized rod, Deirdre. Also, okay, so it's what's going on here? Is his, you know, penis not that large, but still kind of large? Is that why it's queen-sized? And why is it named Deirdre? Or is this email telling Deirdre that he has a queen-sized rod?
Well, at least it's not a twin.
And the text of this email is, make an elephantine shaft, Dion.
What?
What?
I'll read it again. Make an elephantine shaft, Dion. It looks like he tried to say elephant and make it a verb.
Make an elephantine shaft, Dion. I was going to say about the subject. Maybe his queen had sized a rod, and Deidre's a measurement.
What?
His queen
maybe, and they use
sized
the height
rod,
in the wrong place.
Deirdre. Yes, and it, you know, they just have a problem with grammar. now this elephantine shaft. I'm pretty sure that's straightforward. Dion, go make that elephantine shaft.
Here's the last one from Diane E. Chappelle. Subject is, okay, remember, Diane sent us an email with the subject. Mm-hmm. I was worried too until I enlarged my dick. It's amazing.
My sister's fucking dick looks big on a large screen.
Transgender. Oh, my God.
Okay, and here's a text.
I was about to say Dave Chappelle's sister, but no.
Here's a text from Diane, who says that her dick is enlarged. Almost idiotic to disagree with anything that came out of Soros had guessed right, despite going into January 1991 with all the wrong two men had their first open quarrel. At Soros Fund Management, it is in seeing the trend long before. So that totally made no sense. Do you agree to enjoy an average penis and average woman? We don't think so. So we offer something special to you. Mega refers to great. And so our Oh, yes! It's the return!
Uh-oh.
So our medicine... Mega dick.
Mega dick.
Make your penis simply great. You take it and enjoy your new success in bed. You'll be so pleasantly surprised. Up to 30 to 40%. And then if you have the convictions, go for 100 before anyone else does. Rapid. When he mentioned to his friends in the investment community about how to build long-term return, and it has worked. Who would be right? Prime Minister John Major or the world's 157? It takes courage to be a pig, Quantum. He had been unenthusiastic about the... He had been unenthusiastic about the dollar, and he took a wanted to be able to operate independently. He did not want George. End of email.
fuck?
You heard it here first, folks. Mega Dick will ruin your sense of the English language, but it'll make you large.
It'll give you a Godzilla dick.
I'd like to know. Gamma. I'd like to know when's the last time this ever worked. Unfucking believable. I mean, you have to have a really, really fucked up hangover to actually fucking sign up for any of this shit.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's
so I got like a package
there.
Of it.
Some quality writing right there.
Mm-hmm. We should have books made in that style of writing.
Oh, wow. I think that about does it, though.
Yeah.
Report is the end of the line today. Mm-hmm. Any closing remarks, Mega or Dick?
Just Mega.
Just Dick.
Mega Dick.
Mega Dick.
Housekeeping, as usual, go find us on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for TryGames.net. Please, please review us, give us feedback. If you're an asshole about the review, we'll be a total asshole back to you, but at least we'll know that we get feedback and we'll see what we can do about it, even if we don't listen to you.
Yeah.
Also find us on dig.com, even though no one digs us anymore because you're all shitheads. dig.com/trygames_net_podcast. I'm sorry, there's a /podcast. I don't even care. Remember, that site's bitch. You can also find us on trygames.net itself. We always post a new article when we post a podcast. You can also find it on my GameSpot blog, gamespot.com/users/MRCHUP0N. The number zero is nice. Number zero on blog. Be sure to check out Marshy Man's On Point podcast. That's what it was called. I believe mm-hmm. they're up to episode 12 now. He has actually gotten an early copy of Guitar Hero 3, apparently, and has finished,
and it, finished
so he'll, it. He'll be talking about it on his podcast. www.gamespot.com/users/MarshyMan50. And also, always check out Game Slaves Radio, hosted by Riven and Leiden, and now Kristen. Part of the Game Slaves community, you can hit them up on Steam. They are available at www.gameslave.net. And you can
click
on the link.
GS Radio.
You click on the link labeled GS Radio. You can also find them on iTunes, I believe. And I believe I'm either the only one or one of only two or three people who have reviewed them. So stop being complete dickheads and go give them feedback, please. Again, iTunes, that's Game Slaves. I think it's just Game Slaves and it'll come up. And that about wraps it up for Ethan. Ethan? Oh, that's
hey,
right.
Hey, Ethan, wake up.
You're gone again.
Wake. Oh, yes, you just came back from Vancouver.
Vancouver, Canada land. So instead, for Al.
What is it?
For Tony.
Shit. Shit whore.
I have been your host. Ratchet is good, then you dickhead. Chupon. Our poop has grown. Okay.
It has grown and sprouted plants.
Oh!